Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to Resurrection Power Church of Christ Ministries. My name is Apostle David Kalna. I'm your host, and Holy Spirit is our overseer. We are grateful, and we are excited to be here this morning. For truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, a day that we have never seen before, a day that we will never see again. And we thank the Lord that he has brought us into this day. It was in the alarm clock. It was in the commentator or the DJ. But it was the very spirit of the Lord that woke us up this morning and clothed us in our right mind. And today we just want to say thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. My voice is a little tired, but Father, I just pray this morning for everyone that under the sound of my voice, all those that are coming on the line right now, Lord, I pray that you would touch them. Touch everyone today, Lord God. Let the word that come forth be a word that, Lord God, that will bring transformation, that will bring healing, that will bring deliverance, O God. We pray today, O God, that your word will be sweet, O God, sweet as always, O God, a word that draw your people closer to you, Jesus. Lord, we pray today for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We pray for a flooding of the Spirit, O God, in this sanctuary, O God, in the sanctuary of our hearts, O God. We pray, O God, that you would speak to us even as we yield to you, to your presence this morning. God, we ask you, O God, to open every closed door, and close every door that should be closed, O God. We ask you to speak tonight, O God. Speak today, O God. Lord, use this deaconess, O God, to declare and decree what thus says the Lord. Lord, we'll be so careful. We'll be so careful to give you all the glory and all the honor that is due to your name. Spirit of the living God, we invite you in this house today. We ask you, O God, to saturate these premises, O God. Sterilize these premises from every distraction, O God. Anything that would try to distract us, O God. We pray today, O God, for moving of the Spirit of God on this line. We pray for deliverance. We pray for healing. Lord, we pray for restoration, O God. Yes, Lord, we pray for all. Our local bishop, Bishop Lincoln Wright. We pray for the apostle that is coming. We pray that, God, that you'll come in the service and you'll do a mighty work in the service, O God. The Lord, that folk will experience your glory, O God, as we yield to you, God. Holy Spirit of the living God, we ask you to cover Evangelist Baxter as she's out there in the streets, reaching out to those that are lost. Father, do something new in her. Not new to you, but new to her, O God. We pray, O God, for the message that is coming today. Let it be like fire, God. Let it be like fire that will burn. Lord, that we'll learn how to manage our time. We'll learn to manage everything that you have given to us, O God. Lord, we ask you to touch the woman of God's lips, touch her heart. Lord, touch her mind. God, touch everything that concerns her. Touch her children. Touch her husband. Touch her mother. Touch her sister, Lord. Touch her father. Lord, we ask, oh God, that you would do a work in her family like never before, oh God. That there'll be a cleansing and there'll be a drawing, oh God. There'll be a healing, oh God. That folk will be drawn closer to you, God. We pray for Sister Christina, Lord. Lord, you know that she's going through. But, Lord, she'll make it through as she go through with you, allowing you to carry her, oh God. Lord, touch Sister Carmen. Lord, allow her to see which way is up, oh God. Father, I pray, oh God, that you'll move in these young women's lives, oh God, that they will hear and see and do, oh God. Holy Spirit of the living God, touch Sister Crystal. Lord, the disturbed little girl. Lord, touch her, Lord Jesus. Touch the Lord that she would get a focus on where her parents is going, that she could get on the train. I pray, Father God, that there will be a strong moving, oh God, of the Spirit of God to bring people to repentance, bring people to a place of restoration, a place of healing, a place of deliverance, oh God. Spirit of the living God, move. We are going to go into worship this morning, and then we're going to come back after a little while and have the woman of God come in and bring the word.
You are the Lord that changes all. You are the Lord that changes all. who they help me. Then they ask me who they give me land. Then they ask me who do me better, better, better. But I chose the saddest day because believe I can face tomorrow. Because believe I can face tomorrow. My stability of very strong. Because I know he was my future. My life is what I live in just because believe. Because believe.
Hello. The Lord and the Lady, Thank you. her.
Yeah, good morning, good morning, good morning. I hear you, Deaconess. I hear you're ready. You're ready. I can feel it in your spirit. You're ready to flow. So, Father God, we just thank you and praise you, O God, for this morning. We thank you, God, because you are wonderful. You're excellent. You're marvelous, O God. And, Lord, we just want to worship you, Lord God, because that's who you are. You are beyond our comprehension, O God. So, God, we bless you. We praise you. We magnify your name. Lord, we say that you are sovereign. You are holy. You are righteous, O God. You're full of mercy and grace, O God. And, Father, we just pray that today, O God, that you would touch us, O God, that you would come in and touch our hearts, O God, that you would touch our very inner being, O God, that we will not leave this line the same way we came on. Lord, that every heavy weight that we have, Lord, will leave us as we begin to hear your word. Even now, O God, we are being lightened up now from your worship, from the worship, O God. We pray, O God, that as you release your daughter to release the word that is in her spirit, O God, that she take her time, O God, and allow the Holy Spirit to lead her and guide her down through the path, O God. We pray, O God, that she deliver, O God, that every hindrance, O God, every obstacle, every snare, every trap that is set to stop this word will be broken this morning, O God. We pray, O Father God, that you'll bring restoration to the hearts and minds of your people, O God, that you'll bring healing to their souls today, God, to our souls, O God. We pray, Father God, for your word to rest upon the woman of God's lips today, O God. Cause her to speak only that which says the Lord, O God, that she will hear your voice, O God, as she open her spiritual ears. She will see your word as the scales from her natural eyes drop off, O God. She will see what you are showing her. And, Lord, we declare and decree, O God, that she will speak the truth in love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Come on in, Deaconess.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I just want to give honor to God, who is the light of my life, who is my rock and my strong tower. I want to bless the Lord for Apostle Calendar and Lady Nancy Calendar and for all the leaders on the line. For the whole body of Christ, I just want to bless the Lord for you this morning. So I ask you, Heavenly Father, Lord God, to move through me this morning, Lord God. Speak a word in your people, Lord God, that when they hear, they will not hear me, but they will hear you, Lord God. I ask that you take control, Lord God. Lord, I ask that you use my lips, Lord God, as you are the potter and I am the clay, to give your people what they desire, Lord God, to reach them, Lord God, to help them to understand, Lord, to draw them nearer to you in this subject of time management, Lord God. Oh, Lord, I ask that you move like never before. Bless them, Lord God. Lord, and keep me, Lord God, that you can use me and fill me this morning for your honor and your glory in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
My subject matter on this morning will be time management, using God's gift of time. Time management, using God's gift of time. Please go with me to Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6. And it reads, trust in the Lord with your whole heart and lean not on your own understanding. And in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. And this scripture is talking about God's guidance, that we should lean and trust in him and be confident in the Lord with all our hearts and minds, and not to rely on our own insight or understanding. In all of our ways, we are to recognize and acknowledge him, and he will direct and make straight plans in our path. And direct, Hebrew definition is to make smooth, straight, and right. It includes the idea of removing obstacles that are in the way. And God will strengthen the stressful path. He does not say when or how, but he promises that he will, and he's able. Please go with me to Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And it reads, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And Paul talks about turning to a practical manner concerning the application of salvation. The verses constitute a call to committed living in light of the mercies of God, all that God has done for believers, as presented in the earlier chapter of Romans. God's people should in gratitude offer a consecrated lifestyle to him. The verb present can carry the connotation of two places at the disposal of or to yield to. As Christians, a sacrifice to God is to live our lives as holy or set apart to God and to please him. Our lifestyle is to express complete devotion to the Lord. The believer is not to be molded by the pressures of this sinful world. We as believers is to experience a transformation, a new way of thinking made possible through the power of the Holy Spirit. Please go with me to Proverbs chapter 31, verse 15. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 15. And it reads, she also rises while it is yet night, and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservant. This particular scripture is talking about the time management of a wife. How she rises, yet it's still dark, and she gets food prepared for her family, whether it's spiritual food or earthly food. And she knows how to delegate as she gives portions to her maidservants as what they need to do, what their tasks are going to do. Time management. Time management is the act or process of planning and exercising cautious control over the amount of time we spend on specific activities, especially to increase effectiveness, efficiency, and productivity. Time management may be aided by a range of skills, tools, and techniques used to manage time when accomplishing specific tasks, projects, and goals, complying with a due date. But time management from a biblical perspective is not about the challenge to manage time. The Bible teaches that we need to surrender everything to God, including our time. When we submit our priorities and goals to God, we are able to evaluate and focus our attentions on the areas that matters most. The essence of effective time and life management is to organize and execute around priorities. So I ask, what are your priorities in life? Have you considered making a list of your priorities and then scheduling them accordingly? Keep in mind that whatever we value most in our life becomes our priority. If we value our homes, our children, our jobs, and our life, that becomes our priority. But that's not what our priority should be. Is it your relationship with God, our Creator, or aspiring to gain things of the world? The issue with time management is not only the lack of discipline, but the problem also is that our priorities have not been deeply planted in our hearts and minds. It is essential to search the scripture and evaluate our priorities. Pray about it because it's a process. Don't get disappointed and give up when you don't see any immediate results. Be patient with yourself. It takes integrity and sincerity. You may have to get a daily planner or use your cell phone calendar, and there's tons of apps out there on your cell phone for priority and time management and calendar. Also, we need to learn to delegate certain responsibilities. Work smarter and harder. Learn to say no when it's appropriate, and don't get overwhelmed when making changes in our schedule. We can only do so much. Then we should evaluate our progress, make improvements, and be consistent. Each day is a gift from God that offers the opportunity to make a difference. And as children of God, we should intentionally use our time effectively for God. Please go with me to Psalms chapter 55, verse 17. Psalms chapter 55, verse 17. Evening and morning and at noon, I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Even in the morning and at noon, I would utter my complaints, moan and sigh, and he will hear me. You know, and this just is an example of how God always makes time for us, and he's always available for us, whether it's in the morning, whether it's in the evening, whether it's at night. He always makes time for us. But we, as people of God, find it difficult to manage our time, to make time for God. We're always on the go. We're always in a rush. We're always in a hurry. But God never rushes us. He takes his time with us, and he's always available. Please turn to Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. And this scripture is talking about not worrying, but seeking God first, aiming and striving for his kingdom work to be first in our lives and his righteousness and his ways of doing and being right, and then all things taken together that we are concerned about. He will take care of. He will give it unto us. But we have to put God first. And part of time management, we have to put God first. For the word reminds us that we should seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And that's ultimately what we're here for, to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, to live according to his will, to be obedient to his plan and not have our own personal agenda. Our next scripture is Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. Everything has its time. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck out what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, in a time of war and a time of peace. And we have all heard this saying at one point of our lives, that there's a time and a place for everything. And this is what this scripture really details, that every activity has its proper time as ordained by God. The grammatic verses affirm that God definitely has a plan. Notice that each verse of this poem cites the characteristic activity of life matched with its opposite. Every activity has an appointed time. We can accept God's timeable or be crushed by it. The God who ordains the routine events of our lives is a compassionate, gracious, and faithful God. We must trust his will and rest in him. Birth and death, sowing and harvesting, weeping and laughing, mourning and dancing, speaking and keeping silent, and war and peace are common occurrences in life. We must first fit ourselves. We must fit ourselves appropriately into God's plan for our lives. And because time is such a precious resource, the Bible cautions us to manage it well. For example, the Apostle Paul makes a critical point in his letter to the Ephesians. He taught the young Christians there to live a life worthy of the calling they had received, to be imitators of God, to live as children of light and be very careful how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. He then drives home his primary point, encouraging the Ephesian Christians to redeem the time because of the evil day. If you wish to avoid being foolish and desire to understand the Lord's will, you will redeem, buy, get, or win back the time. Each day is like our own word of life. We wake up in the morning and our tasks are before us. We have plans at the beginning of the day and we hope to accomplish, but we don't know how well they will be fulfilled. And by the end of the day, things have really turned out precisely as we planned them. You very well might meet all your deadlines and attend all your scheduled meetings, but there will be things that happen during the course of your day that are beyond our control. We often begin our day filled with energy. Perhaps we need some caffeinated help, but we reach to a point where we have optimal vigor to accomplish things. And over the course of our day, we grow a little bit weary until our energy diminishes as the day turns into night. You may get a second wind, but eventually you become so tired that you must go to bed. God definitely cares about how well we manage time. The first principle of time is recognize the value of time and redeeming it, buying it up and using it carefully as the priceless resource which it represents. I'll read that again. The first principle of time management is recognizing the value of time and redeeming it, buying it up and using it carefully as the priceless resource which it represents. God moves with purpose in directing the flow of us towards his ultimate goal. Likewise, he expects us, his followers, to live with intentionality, properly stewarding the time allotted to us. Living with a proper perspective on time allows us to accomplish as we can with what we have during the time God gives us. This morning we're talking about time management, using God's gift of time. Eternity simply cannot tolerate laziness or complacency. We cannot be content to merely survive when there are so many opportunities to serve God and His people. Life is far too short, and our accountability to Almighty God far too serious not to make the most of our days. People of God, our responsibility is to discover the best stewardship of life. In society, effective executives do not start with their tasks. They start with their time. They start by finding where their time actually goes. Then they attempt to manage their time and to cut back unproductive demands on their time. Finally, they consolidate their discretionary time into the largest possible continuing time unit. Certainly, there must be a time for rest, relaxation, and play. We need only to reflect on the Sabbath principle, the pattern of creation, and the rhythm of life to realize we need time for mental and physical refreshment. Yet, with a well-developed sense of purpose shaped by God's word, all our activities and decisions are brought into alignment with God's purpose so that we can achieve maximum effectiveness with the time and resource God has given us. The responsibilities and pressure of this world's clamor for our attention and attempts to squeeze our inner lives and starve our souls. When this happens, we lose sight of the things that matter most and begin to focus on the things that are passing away. Our value system becomes confused when we invest more of our thoughts and concerns in things that are doomed to disappear than in which we will endure forever. As we make decisions about how we make the most of our time on earth, we reflect the character of God. This is our ultimate responsibility. What matters most in the long run is not how long we live, but how we live. A day of reckoning is coming, and a purposeful achievement is a mark of the reign and rule of God coming to fruition in our lives. The word found in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 through 8 are familiar to people of all religious persuasions. People may not be aware of the original source, however, or the profound sense of urgency the original writer intended to convey. This well-known passage was popularized years ago in a song written by Bob Dylan. To everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. The writer of Ecclesiastes go on to list things that have been that have their season. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to uproot, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to tear down, and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. Verses 2 through 8. Here we see how precious time is as a resource. However painful it may be, it's beneficial to come to grips with the truth that we simply do not have sufficient time while on this planet to accomplish all that our heart desires to do and that we know we are capable of doing. So how do we make most of the time here and now? The key is to cultivate a genuine heavenly mindedness. If you read in history, you find that Christians who did most for the present world were just those who taught most of the next, who thought most of the next. The apostles themselves who set on foot the conversion of the Roman Empire, the great men who built up Middle Age, the English evangelicals who abolished the slave trade, all left their mark on earth, precisely because their minds were occupied with heaven. It was since Christians have largely ceased to think of the other world that they became so ineffective in this. Please go with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 11. A couple of chapters over. It says, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, nor favor to men of skills, but time and chance happens to them all. And this scripture is saying that time is going to wind down for everyone. Death comes to all of us. We cannot run from it. It will come. People cannot be too smart to thinking that they can outsmart it. It will come. No money in the world can buy it. But we all will experience it one time or another. That's why we have to be careful and wise how we manage our time. Our next scripture is Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 6. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 6. In the morning sow your seed, and in the evening do not withhold your hand, for you do not know which will prosper, either this or that, or whether both alike will be good. The Message translation states, to go to work in the morning and stick to it until evening without watching the clock. You never know from moment to moment how your work would turn out in the end. You know, we just have to be steadfast. You never know where your blessing is going to come from. And when you're working, when we're doing working for the Lord as humble servants, we shouldn't be watching the time. Oh, I'm going to spend 10 minutes at the church, and the whole time you're an hour at the church, and the whole time you're there, you're watching the clock. That means your heart is not destined, your heart is not in it. You're given the time, but you're not given the time for the right reasons. You know, we have to have the discipline to use our time wisely. We cannot do so always expecting, always looking at the clock, always in a hurry, always on the go, always in the get, always reaching for the almighty dollar. But we have to use our time wisely, because ultimately our time is a gift of God. We're not obligated to have it, but it's a gift from God. Our next scripture is Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 17. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 17. So then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And this scripture is telling us to walk in wisdom. Look carefully how we walk. We should live purposefully and worthily and accurately, not as the unwise and witless, but as wise, sensible, and intelligent people, making the very most of our time, buying up each opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be vague and thoughtless and foolish, but understanding and firmly grasping what the will of the Lord is. And in order for us to firmly grasp what the will of the Lord is, we have to spend time with Him. Whether it's in our prayer closet, or when we're in the shower, or when we're driving, or that quiet place where we're all alone in the basement. We have to spend time with Him. People fixated on this world rarely speak and act with courage and conviction. They will never accomplish truly great things in this life because their lives lack stability, substance, and weight of a person for whom the future holds greater promise than the past and present. Someone once said, time is given to us to prepare for eternity. We might say the opposite is also true. Eternity is given to us to prepare for time. We will fail to live out our time wisely if we fail to live out in the light of eternity. The opportunities and circumstances of this earth can never satisfy our deepest longings, because God has set eternity in our hearts. When we long for more than the world has to offer, we are really longing for eternity. In our present state, time is like the Tartarian river that carries our lives away. But in our eternal state, it will be more like a still and bottomless pool for our never-ending enjoyment. just when we appear to have attained some proficiency, we are focused to lay our instruments down. There is simply not enough time to think, to become, to perform what the constitution of nature indicates we are capable of. There is so much disappointment and dissatisfaction in our present world. But heaven will be beautiful. Creative activity and endless adventure without pain or fear or frustration. Here, trapped as we are by space and time, we experience sorrow when a loved one dies. We treasure precious moments we have together and savor them. If for no other reason than because they are rare and are all too often, must be cut short as we are called away to tend to other business. But in the next world, we would have continuous, unbroken fellowship with God and with one another. The desire of longing we feel when we don't want a particular moment to end is actually our heart yearning for eternity, longing for that which God has prepared for us in the world to come. It is a longing to be in the very presence of God himself. Tell me, how completely satisfying it is to turn from our limitations to a God who has none. Eternal years lie in his heart. For him, time does not pass, it remains. And those who are in Christ share with him all the riches of limitless time and endless years. We're talking about time management using God's gift of time. Time management is important because of the brevity of our lives. Our earthly sojourn is significantly shorter than we are inclined to think. As David so aptly pointed out, you have made my days a mere handbreadth. The span of my years is nothing before you. Each man's life is a breath. Psalm 39, verses 4 through 5. The Apostle James echoed this. You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. James 4 and 14. Indeed, our time on earth barely registers on the eternal radar screen. To live as God will have us to live, it is essential we make the best possible use of our allotted time. Moses prays, teach us to number our days that we might gain a heart of wisdom. A good way to gain wisdom is to learn to live each day with an internal A good way to gain wisdom is to learn to live each day with an eternal perspective. Our Creator has set eternity in our hearts, knowing that we have to give an account to the one who gives us time should motivate us to use our time well. In his letter to Ephesians, Paul cautions the saints, be careful, very careful how you live. Not as unwise, but wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Living wisely, involving using time carefully, knowing that the harvest is great and the workers are few, and that time is rapidly dwindling, should help us make better use of our time to witness. This passage informs Christians the correct way to use God's gift of time. It is equally applicable to believers and unbelievers, to the saved and to the lost. To live in a pleasing way to God, people must have correct notion of time. And the language of the text, most correct notion of time, is to know how to redeem it. We usually don't think of time in terms of redeeming it. Redeem time. That does not compute with most people. Apparently, many Christians in Ephesus were careless in the way they were using their time. Just before the unusual statement about time, Paul said it was time for those Christians to wake up and rise from the dead and to live by the light that Christ gives to his followers. They were asleep spiritually and living like spiritual dead people, spiritually dead people. That is like people in the world who do not recognize God, worship God, thank God, or serve God. Apparently, Christians can be asleep morally and religiously and not know it. If they did know it, they would not be asleep. The way to prevent this situation is to wisely use the gift of time God has given us. There is no doubt that the responsibilities and pressures of this world scream for our attention. The myriad of things pulling us in different directions make it too easy for our time to be swallowed up in man-do lesser matters. Those endeavors which have eternal value then often get pushed to the back burner. What if God pushed us to the back burner? Have we considered that? What if God treated us the way that we treated him? To avoid losing focus, we need to prioritize and set goals. Additionally, to whatever extent possible, we need to delegate. Recall how Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, wisely taught him to delegate some of his heavy workload. Regarding our work ethics, we need to recall that God did all his work in 6 days and rested on the seventh. This ratio of work to rest sheds light on our Creator's expectations relative to our own work ethic. Indeed, Proverbs 6:10-11 reveals the Lord's disdain for slothful behavior. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a bandit. Furthermore, the parables of the talents in Matthew 25:14-30 illustrates the tragedy of wasted opportunity as well as the importance of laboring faithfully until the Lord comes. We need to place our focus on that which is eternal as opposed to fleeting pleasures of this passing world. Accordingly, we should move forward with diligence and divine purpose as the source of our lives progress towards God's ultimate goal. We are to accomplish as much as we can with the time he has given us. We will be eternally rewarded for investing our time in good work. 1 Corinthians 3:14. We should live as if every minute counts, because it really does. Please go with me to Colossians 4:5-6. Colossians 4:5-6. It reads, walk in wisdom to those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. And that scripture talks about Christian grace, how we behave ourselves wisely. We should behave ourselves wisely, living prudently with the discretion in our relations with those of the outside world. That is non-Christian, making the very most of the time and seizing, buying up the opportunity, letting our speech at times be gracious, pleasant, and winsome, winning souls, seizing as if it was with salt, so that you may never be at loss to know how we ought to answer anyone who puts a question to us. Paul asked believers believe is to interact with those in the world with wisdom, tempering their speech and seasoning it with salt. Salty language can mean the believers are not to be dull or predictable in their speech, but gracious and interesting in order to draw others to the light in Christ. Or it could be a reference to salt as stinging the conscience and awakening a lost world to an awareness of the choice between sin and righteousness. Therefore, believers redeem or use their time wisely by taking every opportunity to influence others for Christ. We're talking about time management, using God's gift of time. You know, have you ever experienced while on a job, you have lunch, your lunch break is for a half an hour, and you end up meeting up with another coworker, you get to talking, and before you know it, your half an hour is done. You ran out of time, and you end up rushing to get back to your desk in time, and you have to eat your lunch at your desk. But your food doesn't digest properly because you didn't manage your time wisely. You spend too much time chattering and not enough time eating. And that's the same thing with God. We may spend too much time chattering, hanging out, gossiping, talking, going places, running errands, and not enough time feasting on the spiritual food of the Word. Like a student studying for an exam, you always find some college students that cram. They try to get in as much information as they can the night before the exam. And what happens when they wake up in the morning? Their brain went into overload and they cannot remember a thing. And we do the same as children of God, as people of God. We try to cram a little time here, a little time there, instead of taking the time over a period of time, daily spending time with God. Sometimes we don't even pray or even commit to going to spending time with God when things are going good for us or things are even going bad. When we feel like we're on top of the world and we have it all and we know it all and we can do it all. But that is not what God has given us the gift of time for. He gave us the gift of time to use it for his kingdom building, to use it for his glory, to use it for his honor, and to use it for in his presence. We like to rush God and not spend complete, wholesome, wholeheartedly time with him. But when our favorite movie is on, our favorite game is on, our favorite show is on, we take the time. We may even pause the video, pause the show, and go get our popcorn and sit back and relax to enjoy our entertainment. But we may very well have empty closets in our home, spaces that we're not using, but we never find the time to cultivate it and decorate it as our secret place, our quiet place, where we can step into the throne room and spend time with God. Where we would go there daily, where our hearts will be convicted if we walk by that room and not take the time out to reverence our Lord. Just like if we're baking a cake or cooking a meal, if we don't manage our time properly, the cake can either be undercooked or overcooked. If we're cooking a chicken dish, if we don't manage the time properly, it can be hard and rubbery, or it can be undercooked and the inside is still pink. But in all of these things, we have to manage our time to the glory of God. We have to stop making excuses and find the time to spend with our Lord, because he finds the time for us. His eyes are wide open, his arms are wide open, and he's always available for us. So it should not be so difficult because we owe him. He's been too good to us. He's been too gracious to us, and his mercy endures forever. Saints, I say to you this morning, how are you spending your time? How is your time management? Think for a moment, what is the greatest stressors in your life today? What are the greatest stressors in your life today? Haven't your stressors involved some feelings of being overloaded with responsibilities at home, at work, at school, at church, or maybe a combination of all these plus more? You are stressed because you are running late for an appointment, then get stopped at a traffic light, then the car stops acting up, and how are you going to find the money and the time to get it fixed? Is there going to be enough time to come home from work, cook dinner, and still make it to school for the kids' program? Or, by the way, your neighbor down the street suggested you should get together sometime for coffee. And you told them that you would call them back, but you still haven't taken the time to call back yet. Each of these anxiety producers has to do with time management. Think of how many day-to-day issues involve. Think of how many day-to-day issues that involve the use of time. In fact, what the day consists of, T-I-M-E. The clock seems to be our enemy because it keeps ticking no matter what happens, regardless whether we have time for it or not. The solution is time management, but here is the catch. Time management will require work if you want to succeed. It will require hard work. It will require hard work, and it will require hard work. Being successful at time management requires work. And some people don't want to work. They're comfortable right in their mess. They're oblivious and they're blind to the time. They don't look at the clock. They don't know, they don't realize the state that they're really in. In today's message, I would like to talk to you about five key principles of time management. These principles will help you manage your time as you struggle with overwhelming situations that happen in life. The first is to set priorities. You cannot be effective in time management unless you set priorities. Probably many of us know the illustration or heard of the illustration of the physics teacher who gave his students a wide mouth mason jar. He then gives them five big rocks, a handful of marbles, a container of sand, and a glass of water. And he says, you got 15 seconds to put all these items in the jar. The physics teacher then steps back with a stop clock in his hand and yells, go. The students pour in the sand, throw in the marbles, and start stuffing the rocks in. After 15 seconds, he shouted, time's up. They're still sitting on the table where three large rocks and a glass of water. The students start complaining, it can't be done. It's impossible. All this stuff won't fit. The jar is too small. The teacher calmly says, I can put them all in the jar. The students respond, show us. So they dump everything back on the table, separate everything, and start over. The teacher then took the jar and placed a couple of big rocks in the jar. He filled in any gaps around the big rocks with marbles and continued to fill the jar until it was up to the brim with all the big rocks and all the marbles. The teacher then took the sand and slowly poured it into the jar and watched it cascade around the rocks and the marbles, filling all the holes and spaces. He then took the glass of water and poured it into the jar. Everything fit perfectly. He then said, it all fits, but it depends on the order that you put them in the jar. This is a matter of setting priorities. When we set priorities, we can make it happen. Jesus said it this way, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the things shall be added unto you, as we read earlier. Jesus was saying that we need to set priorities in our life. Time management, number one, is set priority. Number two is build relationships. We find that Jesus says this principle when he asks, teacher, which command is the law? Greatest. Teacher, which command in the law is the greatest? He said to them, love the Lord your God with your whole heart, with your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and most important commandment. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the laws and the prophets depend on these two commands. In this short statement, Jesus tells that there are two relationships that are vital. Our relationship with our Heavenly Father and our relationship with other people. Why would he tell us that relationships are the most important thing? Because all the stuff, material possessions will disappear, but relationships will last. The money, the job, the possessions, the toys, and all that stuff will be gone in the end. But your relationship with God will last forever. In fact, where you will spend eternity is based on one thing, your relationship with God. Therefore, your relationship to God is of vital importance. If you do nothing else in this life, take the time to build relationship with God. The third element of good time management is take time to plan. Someone once told me, you need to hope for the best, but plan for the worst. There is much wisdom in that statement. Jesus talked about planning when he said, for which of you, desiring to build a tower, not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Luke 14:28-30. Do you use your time wisely? Plan ahead. The first principle of time management is take time to organize. Have you ever spent a bit of time looking for something you have misplaced? One of the things that really bother me is when I am on a crunch for time and can't find my keys. I know I put it down and then I can't find it. I have not left the house all morning, but the keys is gone. I have spent many a minute looking for something that is within arm's length, or something within plain sight. No wonder Jesus could tell the story. Imagine a woman who has 10 coins and loses one. Won't she light a lamp and scour the house, looking in every nook and cranny until she finds it? And when she finds it, you can be sure she'll call her friends and neighbors. Come celebrate for me. Come celebrate with me. I find my lost coin. Count on it. That's the kind of party God's angels throw every time one lost soul turns to God. Luke 15:8-10. We all know what it means to lose something. One way to help save time is to organize. learn to be flexible. Folks, right here is the key principle. The reason I say this is because no matter how much you plan, no matter how much you organize, no matter how much you prioritize, things could happen which will change everything. There are events in life that can happen quickly and in an instant, and it can change our lives forever. Someone once told me that there should be another beatitude, and it goes like this. Blessed are the flexible, for they are not easily broken. But God knows all about our plans and our dreams. He knows all about what it is we plan to accomplish and what motives are in accomplishing it. We know all the hours we're putting in and the sacrifice we're making. How we spend our time is important. Are you building a relationship with God? When we have made an appointment with God, we need to keep it. Whether it's in our prayer closet, in our bedrooms, bathrooms, living rooms, our vehicles, or riding the bus, we need to be faithful and consistent with our time we spend with God. Saints, if you didn't know, I come to declare the good news. We serve an on-time God. He's mighty. He's never late. We serve a right-now God. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. He's waiting. Are you using the gift of time for His glory? His will and not our own. All the glory belongs to Him, not us. He's worthy. Please, let's not wait too late to give honor to where honor is due. For time waits for no man. The return of our King is vastly approaching. When we say we want to be in that number, when the saints go marching in, I'm asking, are we managing our time? Please go with me to Proverbs chapter 13, verse 4. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 4. The soul of a lazy man desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made rich. And this scripture is talking about the appetite of sluggard, lazy people, crave and get nothing, but the appetite of a diligent worker is abundantly supplied. And at one time or another, we have heard the slogan, the early bird gets the worm. If we are lazy and complacent in our time management, we won't bear the fruit. We won't truly have a relationship with God. We won't truly know our purpose. We won't truly understand what we are designed to on this earth to be. But if we are diligent, work hard, trust the Lord, use our time wisely, spend time with the Lord, and go to Him first, then we can be acceptable in His sight. Please go with me to Proverbs chapter 16, verse 3. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 3. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 3. And the three chapters are over. And it says, commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. In other words, roll your works upon the Lord. Commit and trust them wholly to him. He will cause your thoughts to become agreeable to his will. And so shall your plans be established and succeed. Commit means to roll or roll away. Carries the idea that each individual should roll their efforts or roll away their burdens on the Lord. The Lord already clearly has charge of them. He is already in control. So we have to commit ourselves. And by committing ourselves, we exercise time management wisely. We stay true to his word. We trust him. We obey him. We honor him. We magnify his name. Please go with me to Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21. And we're talking about time management this morning, using God's gift of time. The key word is God's gift, using God's gift. We should not take the gift of God for granted. And it reads, there are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel that will stand. I'll read this again. There are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel that will stand. You know, and it's basically talking about how we are always brainstorming options and plans and what we're going to do and how we're going to accomplish it. But God's purpose prevails. When we're in a situation where we lean on our own understanding and not on the Lord, we fail to recognize that God's plan will prevail. God's plan stands. The book of Proverbs enables us to gain wisdom and to take the knowledge and apply it in a practical way in our own lives. We can acquire wisdom by our own means, but our wisdom will always be finished compared to limitless wisdom and power of God, because God is absolutely right, and because he has the necessary power to bring his plan or counsel about, he always succeeds. Our plans are many and uncertain, and the success of our plans depends on the will of God. Only plans that God approves will succeed. I say it again. He always succeeds. Our plans are many and uncertain, and the success of our plans depends on the will of God. Ultimately, only plans that God approves will succeed. And we need to recognize that when we try to do stuff on our own. When we forget who is the creator of time, who gave us the gift of life, that only his plan will succeed. That's why it states in the word, that we should not lean on our own understanding. Because our God is perfect, he's awesome. And he sees and knows. He knows everything. He knows what's best for us. And he loves us and he cares for us deeply. Please go with me to our final scripture, Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. This morning we are talking about time management, using God's gift of time. I challenge you to use God's gift of time wisely. And the verse reads, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." And this scripture basically tells us that God knows what he's doing. He has it all planned out. Plans to take care of us, not to abandon us. Plans to give us a future to hope for. You know, at times we can't see, we can't visualize what God is doing in our lives. We feel like we run into roadblocks and dead ends. We're uncertain of what is next. But we have to trust God because he is a way maker. He is a deliverer. He is a healer. And he can make a way out of no way. Nothing is too great or too small for our Lord. So he is worthy of all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. He just desires for us to spend our time with him wisely, to spend our time with him, to make time for him, to prioritize ourselves, to make wise decisions, to organize, to prioritize, to set goals in our pursuit of time management. And in order for us to use God's gifts of time wisely, we need to understand some key tactics. One is decision making. Tough choices. Every person faces decisions with immediate and long-term consequences. For the Christian, wise decisions can be made with the confidence that God directs our every step as we seek his will in prayer, Bible study, and listening to the Holy Spirit, the divine counselor. While scripture offers precise guidance for many issues in our daily lives, the Bible appears to be silent to others, non-believers, those that only want to read their Bible and study their words on Sunday when the speaker or the preacher, the bishop, the apostle, the evangelist, the minister is talking behind the pulpit. Apart from that, their Bible is closed. But we have to understand how to make wise decision-making. Our next step is organization, our next tactic. Organization. We need to organize. And by organization, we will be ordering our days. The concept of organization in scriptures relates far more to our relationship with people than to the hands on the thing. Organization allows us to move through life with order and purpose. This discipline is not reserved only for organized people. For God delights in helping each person to turn weakness into strength and to bring order from chaos. He redeems our time as well as our soul. Smooth communication, effective problem solving, successful task management, and coordination of life pursuits is just necessary for meaningful interpersonal relationships, as for juggling events and certain activities. The Lord insists through the advice of Jethro that Moses established multiple judicial systems. I'll read it again. The Lord insisted that through the advice of Jethro that Moses established a multitude of judicial systems which effectively placed men of truth as rulers of thousands, hundreds, fifties, and 10,000. Jesus created order so that the hungry crowd could be fed by seeing the people on the grass, allowing disciples to move freely among them with bread and fish. Jesus is sending out his disciples, organized them in teams of two, and gave them well-ordered guidelines. Mark 6 and 7. Decision-making, assignment of space, accomplishments of tasks, and clear lines of communication are thus ordered with one goal in mind, that our lives and environment might be so ordered to give maximum freedom for achieving his goal, not ours. In organizing home or office, priority should be given to policies and structures that benefit and bless people. People always matter more to the Lord than rules. Principle readily evident in the ministry of Jesus, who frequently overstepped the boundaries set by the religious leaders of his day in order to bring truth, comfort, and healing to those in need. Then we have priorities. Priorities, which will cause us, will help us in planning our days. Often we are overwhelmed by too many things to do because there are so many good choices concerning how to apportion our time. To set priorities is to determine what is important to us and how our time is apportioned. That is, who and what will take precedence over the other parts of our lives. Scripture contains guidelines for God's order. Your personal relationship to Jesus Christ, your commitment to home and family, especially spouse and children, and even to the extended family, as so beautifully portrayed in the relationship between Ruth and Naomi. Your responsibility to employers and task assigned, and your service to God through ministry in the church and involvement in the community. Once you have these divine appointed criteria in mind, you are ready to sort out the opportunities that come and move forward in the most effective and productive management of time and resources. A very practical way of accomplishing this is to list all the tasks before you. Consider each prayerfully as to merit and timelessly. Arrange them in order of importance, then proceed to do the most important thing first. It's 1 Corinthians 14 and 40. To be consistent with your priorities, consider these admonitions. Assign God first. Consult with the Father regularly in your quiet time. Examine your own heart and keep yourself spiritually fit. Jesus met with the Father in intense prayer and meditation to determine his priorities and to prove himself for each day. Note all these cautions. Put people before things. Do not limit your investment in those you love and others who cross your path to money and gifts. Look for ways to invest in yourself, your time, your energy. Family must be more important than occupation, since Scripture clearly states that there is no success if the family is lost. 1 Timothy 3 and 5, 5 and 8, and Titus 2, verses 4 and 5. Sometimes you must say no, and this even Jesus, when some seemingly good request for his time did not fit in the overall plan for his ministry. Luke 4 and 42 through 43. The underlying principle is determining priorities is always this. Spiritual values must overshadow worldly pursuits. Lastly, we have goal setting. Setting goals is plotting our course. Goals are dreams with deadlines. Goals are dreams with a deadline. In life, pursue, you either move ahead or find yourself falling back. There is no middle ground. Some goals express good desires but cannot measure and have no deadlines and thus are not achievable. Meaningful visions and realistic goals must include an explanation of the goal. What will take you to reach the goal and the date for completion? What is the deadline? The ardent and relentless pursuit of a goal was important to Paul. He spoke of pressing towards the goal for the prize, Philippians 3 and 14, and for running towards the prize and disciplining himself to attain the prize, 1 Corinthians 9, verses 24 through 25. In both cases, however, Paul was speaking of achieving that which is imperishable, the crown that belongs to those who answer the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The Lord is not at all opposed to your achievements. He simply calls upon you to direct your achievements towards the right and eternal things. Biblical guidance determines goals. All goals must be consistent with the written word of God, 2 Timothy 3 and 14 through 17, and like-minded with Jesus Christ, Philippians 2 and 5. Goal setting is appropriate for any age, from youth throughout adulthood, 1 Timothy 4, 12 and 16, for all God-ordained relationships in all areas of life. Certain commitments are involved in setting goals. Priorities must be specific and measurable. Goals should be realistic, and a plan must be developed to get the work done. Time must be set aside to complete the task, and evaluation of the goal reached ought to be included. To accomplish an ultimate purpose or goal, steps are important. You first ask for direction from God, Proverbs 3 and 5 through 6. This establishes objectives for what is to be done, Psalms 37, 23, and 24, and determines a program for how you are going to accomplish your goals, Proverbs 16 and 9. You must schedule when you are going to do what God has put in your heart and budget how much time and money is required. A Christian's ultimate goal is always to please God. Discover his priorities, study his principles, and determine his plan. Note his way of evaluating progress. Remember his promise for help. Commit to his way of problem solving. Some of you may be wondering how to spend an hour in prayer. When I was in college, my mother mailed me a newspaper article that helped me in my early walk with the Lord. And since we are all brothers and sisters in Christ, I feel compelled to share with you this morning how to spend an hour in prayer. Start by bringing along, Holy Father, your Bible, a hymn, a world map or globe, perhaps a church directory, and yours or your church current prayer list. Then find a place where the two of you will not be disturbed. Preparation. For 1 minute, begin prayer. Ask God to help you spend the time profitably with him. Ask him for guidance and give yourself to him for an hour. For 4 minutes, confession. Spend a couple of minutes going over with him recent sins which weigh on you, but do not dredge up old ones. Read 1 John 1 and 9. Ask his cleansing, then accept it by faith, and thank him for it. He is far more willing to forgive than we are willing to ask for forgiveness. Praise and thanksgiving. 9 minutes of admiration. Sing to the Lord using a hymn or some chorus you know. Come on, lift it up your voice and praise. There are just two of you. Now start to thank him for his goodness to you and to your friends and family. There's a special sense in which God inhabits and is enthroned upon. Praises of his people, Psalm 22 and 3. As your heart begins to adore him, you will sense his presence deeply. Petition. For 9 minutes, pray about life difficulty. Use time to talk over with the Lord your own personal struggles. Discuss with him your relationship with special loved ones or a spouse, your family, hang-ups, your financial needs, your studies, or job. But don't stop here. Be sure to go on to pray for the needs of others. Intercession. For 9 minutes, pray for friends, relatives, neighbors, fellow workers. Don't just read a list of names to God, but talk to him about their lives and needs. You can boldly ask him for their salvation because Jesus died for them. Ask God to bring Christians into their lives, to alter circumstances, and to give you opportunities for witnessing and sharing in death. For 12 minutes, pray for your church and its needs. Call him for a deep renewal of love for God. Pray for your pastor and your church leaders. Intercede for Sunday school children and the youth, the families, the singles, the widows, the sick, and the shut-ins. Call on God for an increase in giving so that the church doesn't have to struggle so much. Pray for the Christian organizations working with college students, the children, the homeless in the community, with servicemen, and on college campuses that intercede for those you know who are in special need. For 8 minutes, pray for our nation, that God will guide our press, our presidents, prime ministers, legislators, justice and judges, our governor, generals, mayors, our police and firemen. Pray for righteousness in government and our public policy, sensitive to the need of the oppressed here and abroad. For 8 minutes, pray for other nations, for the works of Christ throughout the world. Intercede for unreached people. Call on God to send laborers into his harvest. Pray for missionaries, for third world pastors and churches, for the people of God who are suffering persecution. Pray for peace. Ask God to give food, shelter, and to hope, and hope to the hungry. And that's 60 minutes of spending an hour in prayer with God. In my conclusion, we manage time, we waste time, we spend time, we try to save time. We wish the time would come. We wish that time would pass. We see time fly. We feel time drag. We watch clocks and carry counters, creating the illusion that we somehow control time. Yet all the while, movements flow forward like a mighty river that cannot be stopped, harnessed, or rerouted. Yet God controls time. He creates time, and we, his creation, are fenced by his time, directed and guided by his holy and loving hand. We all have the same amount of time in a day. How do we choose to use our time? Some of us seem to manage our time well, while others seem to be stressed out and never have enough time. We are all juggling many balls in the air, and sometimes we add one more fall, everything comes down crashing. How do we deal with not having enough time? How do we change the stress in our lives? How do we learn to manage our time when we realize that time is a gift? When we see our priorities change and choose to use our time more wisely. You have the power and control to make good decisions on how to make time work for us. We can choose to grab hold of life and start living a purposeful life. We can choose to grab hold of time and start living a purposeful life. We can begin to take control of time instead of allowing time to control us, and then we will experience the freedom to live out our purpose in life. Time management is not just keeping busy, but includes finding God's focus for us, choosing a direction and moving ahead to accomplish our goals. Managing time is one of the most difficult yet skillful. Managing time is one of the most difficult yet helpful skills we can develop. It takes maximum effort and realistic planning. First, we must acknowledge that we have time, the same amount God has given to everyone. You with God's help must determine how to use our time. We are in letting others decide and prioritize and make our schedule and time. Remember that by using small bits of time faithfully, we can accomplish great things. The foremost challenge we face is not to orchestrate our lives to plan our year, but to order each day, allowing for sufficient rest, proper nourishment and exercise, and a quiet time spent exclusively with the Lord. To focus on what is really important, meaningful time must be assigned for vital relationships, especially with a spouse, with a and children in the home. Our strength arose early to plan for the day's activities, just as we have today's appliances, vehicles, as well as utility and telephone services. These blessings of God are ready to help us serve and daily mandate tasks, giving them a maximum amount of time to spend with the Lord and to serve others. To the Hebrews, a day in the evening would rest, family fellowship, as well as study and meditation in God's Word. Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." One way to do this is to devote the evening hours to quiet rest, reflection, and inner preparing. In other words, to prepare yourself in the evening for the coming day as well as to plan your day schedule upon rising in the morning. So, saints, brothers and sisters of Christ, I ask you this morning, are we using God's gift of time wisely? How are you managing your time? How much time are you spending with the Lord? Are you yearning for the deeper relationship that the Lord wants to have with us? Are you prioritizing your day? Are you focused on worldly things and not the things of heaven? I ask, time management, I urge you, use the gift of time, because when time winds out, what is done is done. I hope and pray that this word compelled you to reestablish the time you spend with God, to draw you into a deeper relationship, to give you conviction and yearning to spend more time with God, to study His word, to be willing and able to spend time with God, to not rush Him or hasten His time, to not shortchange Him, because He didn't shortchange us when He died on the cross for our sins. He's given us time, but time will wind up. His time is coming near. So I bless you in the name of Jesus to spend more time with the Lord. Apostle?
Yes, I'm back. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. You did well. I missed a lot of the service because I had to go to the school to get my granddaughter. But we thank God I have to go back and listen to it. But time management, using God's gift of time. And that's a very good topic, you know, very good topic. And you did it well. It's very important that we know that we are not on our time, but we are on God's time. And sometimes we think that we got all the time in the world, but you don't have all the time in the world. This is why you, and every time you turn on the television or you read the news, you hear that somebody has left this world. They thought they had all the time in the world. And you look and you see that there's so many young people are leaving this world. And you say, well, they leave before their time. No, their time up, because they've been in the wrong place at the wrong time, and things happen. So we have to manage our time the way God has planned for us to manage it. And how you know how that? Because you follow the instructions that God has given us. Father, there may be someone out there today that don't know you as Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We'd just like to open this line right now for that one that does not know you. You said that the one that wins souls is wise. They are wise. So, Lord, we want to be wise. We want to win souls all over the world. Lord, there's so much hatred in the earth, but, God, we know there's still love. Love is much stronger than hatred. And love covers a multitude of sin. We'd like to open the line. If you don't know Jesus, just say this is a simple prayer I believe the Holy Spirit is giving to me right now. Just say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I was conceived in sin in my mother's womb. And I acknowledge my sin today before man and before God. I believe in my heart and I confess in my mouth that you died on the cross for my sins. You were buried and you rose again the third day. I am asking you today, Jesus, to come into my heart, forgive me of my sins, and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I denounce all the works of the enemy, of Satan today, and the works of this world. I want to live for you, Jesus. So I need you to set me free from the chains that hold me in bondage to this world. Set me free and give me a new life, a life to serve you, a life to live for you, a life to be the one that will bring pleasure to you. The scriptures say that in First John 1:9, that he is faithful and just. Jesus, he is faithful and just to forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. If you had asked him that to come into your heart, you confess your sin today. I mean, confess it not just from your head, but from your heart. Let him know that you no longer want to live the way you used to live. He'll come into your heart. He'll clean you up. He has set you on the right path. But we all have to make that conscious decision that we no longer want to live the way we were living. And then we take steps to live in a different way. So many folk will say to God, yes, I surrender. But they surrender in front of the pastor or the preacher, whoever it is. But as soon as they leave that place of confession, they go back into the place of doing what they want to do, what makes them feel good. And today it's not about feeling good. It's about being good. Jesus, come into your heart very quick and ask him to forgive you. Don't push him out. A lot of us push him out when we want to do what we want to do. Remember that darkness and light cannot dwell in the same temple, not at the same time. Don't push him out of your heart. Give him the opportunity to change your life so you can become who he called you to be. So you'll learn how to manage your time. And if you have prayed that you have just received the gift of salvation, now ask him to fill you with his Holy Ghost. The Bible says in Acts 1:8, that when you receive the Holy Ghost, you'll receive power to be a witness. In other words, you'll become bold. You will not be ashamed of telling somebody that Jesus is your Lord, he's your Savior. You know, so many of us, we can tell each other that Jesus is Lord because we say, well, I've talked to Sister so-and-so, Brother so-and-so, and we'll profess all how well God is working in our lives. But how about the person that don't know him? Will you tell that person? Will you tell her? Will you tell him about Jesus? Or will you be too ashamed to tell them that Jesus saved you, that he set you free, that he filled you with his Holy Presence? That's what the Holy Ghost is. It's the presence of God. He filled you with his Holy Presence. But since you did all this, you received the Holy Ghost, we recommend that you get a Bible. Study the blueprint. Study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Learn about Jesus. Learn about how he called his disciples, how he fed them the word, how he taught them, how he led them. And then study the book of Acts. You want to learn about the church. So many people are in the church building and they don't know anything. They don't have the slightest idea about the church. Somebody's phone is making a noise. Please mute your phone, please. And I'll make me lost my train of thought. But you want to study the word of God. You want to study the word of God. You really want to know about the church that you have become part of. Now you are part of the saints. You're part of the believers. You want to study the word of God. This is where we get our strength from. We get our strength from studying the word of God. You watch the men laying we have a one-way on our street now because the men are putting down some kind of electronic cable for computers or something. Some kind of electronic cable they're putting down now. So we can only come one way, but we can't go the other way. Got to make a detour. But what is happening? They are following the blueprint that their supervisor or their manager or the superintendent gave to them. They're following the blueprint because if they say put it on the left side of the street and they put it on the right side, it's going to cause a problem. There may be gas lines on the right side. There may be other lines that they don't need to be close to on the other side. So they have to follow the blueprint. If we are not studying the word of God, as God has instructed us, guess what happens? We end up doing things that we ought not be doing. But when you follow the word of God according to God's instruction, you find yourself being convicted and not wanting to do the things that you want to do. You know, the things that you want to do, you end up not doing because why? The word of God convicts you. But if you don't know it, you continue doing what you want to do. And you'll keep getting what you've always been getting. I thank God for the word of God. Call up somebody today and tell them, you know what, I've received salvation. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost and I want to be baptized. Call a minister, a leader. To tell them, you know, I received the word of God on the electronic church line. And I want to be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. I always say Jesus' name because Jesus' name is the completion to everything that we do. It is the beginning and it is the end. Jesus' name, it covers everything that we do, everything that we see and do. Okay? If you don't believe, you will not receive. You have to get to that place that you believe what Jesus is saying. They that believe, receive. The Bible says he went to his own town and he could do no mighty works because of the unbelief. He just did a couple of things, the people that believed, but those that didn't believe didn't receive anything. If you don't believe that God can set you free from your attacks that you're dealing with, all the troubles that you're dealing with, the pain, the sickness, and all the disturbance that's taking place in your spirit, you'll continue walking the disturbance. You'll continue to have the problem. But you have to develop that faith inside of you. You have to continue to feed that faith and starve your doubts. But we from time to time allow doubt to come up and say, well, no, I can't stop doing this. Yes, you can. If I could stop doing the things that I used to do, anybody can stop what they're doing. I used to do a lot of bad stuff. Thank God I haven't killed anybody. But I used to do a lot of bad stuff, and God delivered me out of all of them, all. So I can be content with who I am in him. Today is a good day. A lot of people get saved today. I feel that in the spirit. A lot of people are delivered. A lot of people are being restored right now. Because now people are learning how to manage their time. They're managing their time now because if you don't manage your time after today, that means you have not listened or heard the instructions. Because so many people listen, but they don't hear. But you got to listen to hear. That's why Jesus let those that hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Woman minister, a powerful message. I got to go back. Please excuse me, daughter. I have to go back and listen because you still have to do what you got to do in the midst of the word coming forth. And I couldn't let my granddaughter be on the street. You know, with all these kids being kidnapped and stuff, it's not off the street. Because she looked like she was book 17, she was only 12. So I had to go get her and bring it home. So we thank God for the word. I want to open the line right now. Let somebody just come on in and pray over this woman of God. Pray that God will refill her. I don't feel led to pray over her right now. Somebody else come in and pray over this woman, Deaconess Keisha. Pray that God will fill her full now, full, replenish all that she has poured out of her spirit. Somebody come in and pray right now. Right now.
This morning, our Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we say thank you, God. Lord, we say yes to your will, God, and we say yes to you, wake up. And Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask that you cover Deaconess Keisha this morning. We thank you for the covering that you have over her life and her family's life, God. And we ask right now, Father, that you will refill her and infill her, oh God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you for the word, oh God. Thank you for allowing her to allow you to use her in the name of Jesus. Like you said in your word, they that worship must worship in spirit and truth. And God, we know that your word shall not return void. And Lord, we thank you right now for every ear that heard this morning, God, that the word will penetrate their hearts this morning. You said, Jesus, you will remove the heart of stone and give a heart of flesh. And thank you for the word that has gone forth, O Lord, that we all may know how to manage our time and how our time is so important to you, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, that it is part of kingdom building, Lord. You told us, God, not to waste it. And, Lord, we just say thank you right now in the name of Jesus. We just thank you. We bless you for
making the Lord.
Thank you for the word, God. And, Lord, we give you the glory, the honor, and the praise, God, and everything that's due her, oh, God. We thank you, God, that it shall not be withheld from her. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, amen.
Thank you so much, Evangelist. Remember, the Evangelist Campbell will be bringing the word on tomorrow. So you all can come on and support her and hear the word of God. God's word is moving and it's quick and it's sharper than the two-edged sword. It's moving like crazy on this line. I'm telling you, people are getting in touch. I had calls from New York on yesterday and had chat message this morning. We just thank God that God is touching. He's just touching people's lives in there. You know, people are, I'm getting so much invites. Even right here, I got invites from Connecticut to go to some Baptist church over there and be part of a celebration they have. But I can't travel right now, you know, and another invite in New York City. But I can't move right now. I have to be stationary for a little bit. Anyway, we thank God for the word. We thank God for the prayer and for all those that came on the line. A lot of people on the line. So we are going to go ahead without any further ado. We're going to open the line for you all to talk back to the woman of God. And as you need prayer, she'll pray for you. I want an evangelist on the line. Somebody will pray for you. The line is open. The line is open. The line is open for anyone that wants to share.
Good morning. Giving reverence to our Heavenly Father this morning, giving honor to you, Apostle Calendar, Lady Nancy Calendar, to all of our Father's children this morning. I tell you all, if you talk about my phone giving me the blues, I had to literally just get up and go do something different in order to get my phone to stay on this morning, to leave here, go somewhere, and buy a charger, and my phone just would not act right. It would not do it act right. I said, okay. I said, well, I'm not going to miss all this word. So I got a part of it in, got a little bit of it in, hang up, and it cut off again. I said, you know what? I'm not going to worry about that. I said, this phone going to work in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, this phone is going to work. So I said, Lord, you know the things that I have to do that you have called me to do. And it's about the kingdom. It's about us coming together, being unified and glorifying God. And that's, you know, and God said, call those things to his remembrance.
And
this
right.
teacher, from what I call them, I'm going to go back and listen to it because I do listen to it on the internet. But this morning, I didn't have time to do none of it because I was so busy trying to get my phone to work. So, but I just thank God for the word this morning that has gone forth. And you talking about that time management, not wasting our time. And, you know, even what it said in Romans 12 and 11, don't be slothful in business. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. And we have to do that. We can't be slothful. And we think it's okay. You know, we'll punch that clock and go to work on time.
You say something there.
We'll punch that clock and go to work on time. Some of us have been on one job 20, 30, 40 years, haven't been
late.
That's right. But, oh, my God, when it comes to going to the Lord's house, you do everything in the world. You can't get up on time. You're late for Sunday school, late for 11 o'clock worship. You know, it's just to make it in there, it's okay. If I make it, it's okay. But you don't have an attitude when it comes to going to work. You don't say, if I make it, it's okay, but you know you're going to get fired. And you ain't going to have no job.
Right.
If you keep that repetitious act up, you ain't going to have a job. But then what if God would fire us and throw us away from his kingdom? Well, you might not know what the problem is. Why is it that you can't connect with God? Because you're being slothful in his business.
That's
right. One of the things. And I thank God for that word this morning. Managing our time, we got to be wise. We got to be wise builders. And if we're going to be
wise builders,
we got to know how to, this time is consuming. There's only 24 hours in the day. And
that's
I heard him talking about that prayer and giving God 1 hour. And Deaconess Keisha, that's one of the things that I've taught my children since they were babies and old enough to understand what I was saying, that our time belongs to God. Every hour has 60 minutes. And I taught them, even when y'all go to school, shut your mouth for the first 6 minutes of that hour. So we got to teach them how to tithe their time as well. It's 24 hours in a day. So 2 hours and 40 minutes of your day belongs to God. If you got to rise up early or whatever it is you got to do, it belongs to God.
Amen.
Then I just thank God for that word that has gone forth this morning. I thank God for you. And you know, and I'm going to say this, and I've been getting up lately, and I was just telling the Lord thank you this morning. I was telling God thank you this morning simply because I haven't had my alarm clock on in a couple of weeks now. But he's been waking me up on time. Getting up, even this morning, I was like, oh, I don't want to move. But I knew I had to get up because I didn't have an alarm clock set. And I was walking. I got up and got myself cleaned up and got my pray on and come on out and do my walk. And I was telling God, Lord, you know what? I thank you. I haven't had the alarm clock on now, and you've been getting me up on time. I've been on time. You know, and I'm just glad. Back in the day, we used to hear the old people say that an alarm clock didn't wake you up, and they didn't have a alarm clock. But they got up, even if before the rooster crowed, someone would be up, getting out, doing the things that they had to do, because God did it. And if God did it for them then, do we not think he's capable of doing it for us now?
He's able.
Even on my knees this morning. On my knees before I got up. And I say, Jesus, I love you. And I say, and my spirit say, hug yourself. And I just put my arms wrap up and begin to hug myself. And my spirit say, not you. My spirit say, yeah, just hug Jesus. Because if he abide in you, you might not can't see him there. But if he abide in you and you in him, you just hug Jesus. And the tears just ran down my face. I just say, I thank you, God. I thank you.
Lord.
And that's how I just wanted to, you know, I didn't say it out loud, but the spirit say, hug yourself. And I just put my arms up and I just wrap my arms around and I say, oh, I love you. And the spirit say, you just hug Jesus. I was like, wow. Because, you know, because he's in us. If we say he abide in us, as we abide in him, he's in us. What are we going to do with what we have? We better be careful how we use our time. You saw my God is watching you. He's with you. He's inside of you. Wherever you go, every step you take, every breath you make, it's because of Jesus Christ, and he lives in us. I thank the Lord for all of us this morning, and I'm just grateful, and I give God all the glory this morning. Apostle Callender.
Yes, we thank you, Evangelist. Seeing that word, we are so excited about God. I mean, I sung like because you can't hear it in my voice, but it's in my spirit. You know, it's a different mood that I'm in right now. I was just talking to Prophetess Marcella Smith, and You know, God is doing some things. She's facing a lot of difficult times with her family and so on. You know, but I just tell her, just say, remember that God is still on the throne. It don't matter what you're dealing with. God is still on the throne. And sometimes we are let circumstances and situations come in our lives. And I'm still going to be talking about managing time as the woman of God was speaking on. But we have had circumstances and difficulties come in our life, and we forget how to manage time. You know, like, I don't know what my day is going to be like tomorrow. I know Evangelist is going to bring the word. But what, even as I'm speaking with you right now, I am preparing clothes for tomorrow night because I don't know what the Holy Spirit is going to want me to wear. So I'm preparing about two or three different suits because I don't know when he tells me what to wear. Because I can wait until tomorrow or Sunday morning to get my clothes together. My clothes is already ready for Sunday. You know, whatever he wants me to wear, I get up and get them ready. I don't wait till Sunday morning so I can get in there late. So I try to manage my time and be ahead of all the schedule, what's going on. This is powerful because we don't take time to use time. You know, we don't take time to use time. We're just going to do whatever we feel like. They say, oh, my God, I lost all that time. I didn't even get this. I didn't even finish this. Because you're not taking time to use time. You just go on and do what you want to do. Boom, 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 boom. And then you found you missed all that stuff because you wasn't organized. You didn't have a plan. Nothing. Just doing stuff as they come to you. You know, God said you have to get a plan. When you're going to use time, you have to get everything organized and do things in steps. But we don't do that anymore. The more stuff we get, Evangelist, when you were talking about that, you know, I thought the bullet dropped in my spirit. The more electronic gadgets we get, the less we manage time. The less we do things right. And that is true. My mother used to say, she says, well, I'll be up in the morning. Don't worry about it. And she never had an alarm clock ding-dong and ding-dong through the house. But she never got to work late. Never got to work late. Because there was something about the spirit that was inside of her that woke her every morning at a certain time. And I guarantee you're going to hear her in that kitchen doing something in that kitchen for her children at that particular time. Because that's where her heart was. Her heart was to get what she had planned accomplished. I want to open the line again. I see the fireball is on the line. My dear daughter in the Lord, Evangelist Baxter, she's on the line. And another daughter on there who is doing so much for the kingdom, Sharita, she's on there. And I think Sister Kiet is on the line. I'm not sure, but I think she's on the line. Line look for me. It could be Kathleen because the numbers look similar. Anyway, but we open in the line. Come on in and share. Whoever got, who are able to share, come on and tell God something. What God did for you. What happened in your life. What's going on? What about the word? What you heard this morning? What did God spoke to you this morning through the woman of God? Speak to me.
Hallelujah. The Lord is great, and he is greatly to be praised. You know, I was just considering when we have doctor's appointments. You know, we show up 15 minutes late, half an hour late. They won't see us. We have to reschedule. But we consistently make appointments with God and tell God where we're going to meet him, the time and the place. And we're late, and we don't even show up. We brush him off, and we take him for granted. But God wants us to get to a place where we are serious, where we are radical, where we are determined to spend as much time as we can with the Lord.
Mm.
You know, there's many ways of spending time with the Lord. It's not always about, you know, being in the church building, but I'm talking about in that quiet place. Meditation, hearing that while he talks to you, listening to him, writing him a love poem, telling the desires of your heart. You know, reading your scriptures, you know, basking in his glory, quietness. So we have to get to the point where we're serious. Because, you know, God has never given up on us. He always meets us at our need. And when we don't show up, he's still there. He doesn't hold it against us, but he loves us. So we got to be determined. We got to be focused. Because the adversary wants us to idle our day to waiting. come by day away and get caught up in worldly things in the care of the world, to not give our reverence and honor to the Lord.
Mm.
So I just want to bless everyone on the line and just encourage everyone to be focused. Make up your mind. Be steadfast. Be consistent. And come with a pure heart. Repent.
Mm.
He already knows what we did from what we didn't do, how we're doing it, when we're doing it. You know, they always have a saying, what you do in darkness must come to light. He sees and knows. But when we find the time, and when I was out in the workforce and I was working, the first thing I did when I got to my desk was pray and read my Bible. And that would start my day off right. My spirit would be enlisted. I would be focused. God was covering me because I took the time to spend with him. And we have to make the sacrifice. We make sacrifice for our children and our family, our jobs, other responsibilities. But we don't want to make the sacrifice and spend time with God. And he's always available. We got to get radical and get serious. Hold true to our word. If we're going to worship him in spirit and truth, we have to spend time with him, studying our word, praying, fasting, honoring him. You know, just singing songs of praise to him, because it's like a sweet sound in his ear. You know, just calling out his name, just being grateful and thankful, not always coming with a petition for ourselves, but to pray for someone else. Why should just be thankful, even thankful, praises and expressions of thanksgiving. He's worthy, people. He's worthy. Time is running down. Time is drawing near. Why wait? Tomorrow, no one knows what tomorrow may bring. Tomorrow is promised to no one. So we have to live right now as is our last and spend our time trying to gain and grasp all we can from him, because he's able. He's worthy. I bless you all in Jesus' name.
Thank you so much, Deaconess. You released that word, like word came forth there, like a prophetic word from the Lord, like he is saying something serious that we I mean, God is always speaking serious, but that sounded like God was saying it's a warning. I mean, you need to really, really pay attention, because time is drawing near, and you might think you have all this time. We might think we got all this time. I just want to tell you, we might think we got all this time because we're young, but I'm not young anymore. I'm getting older every day, just a couple more weeks, and I'll be celebrating another birthday. But, you know, we think that you all that younger than I am, think that you got it all this time to spare. But the woman of God just said it so clearly. I heard this word. We think we got all this time. But you better use your time to bring pleasure to God. Because you don't know. I hear Bishop said a little while back, you don't know when your number going to call up. I don't know when my number going to call up. I can say, well, the Lord, I asked the Lord when I was younger to allow me to live to 106 years old. I asked the Lord that. I don't know if he's going to allow me to live that long. You know, but while I'm alive, I'm going to do what going to bring him honor, which going to cause somebody to want to be in his presence while I'm alive. You know, I'm not going to focus so much on the 106 years. I'm going to focus on the day that I'm alive today. What do I do today? What am I doing? Is it bringing pleasure to God? Is it bringing honor to his name? Is people still pointing their fingers at me like they used to do years ago and say, well, I know he's going to do this because that's what he likes. And they're still pointing the fingers at her, saying, well, I know she's going to do that because I know that's what she likes. Something to think about. Something really to think about. You know, because we so apt to use our time, evangelists, we so apt to use our time to look before the men and women of God. And we're going there, we'll walk holy, we'll hold our chest up, our head high, and we'll put our hand behind our back. You know, we use all them nice-looking stuff, actions that we do in the church building, church setting, to look like we got it together. But I want to tell you, I don't know, Deaconess Keisha, the Lord is watching. And like Evangelist said, he is with us. He knows what's going on. Be not fooling God. You might be fooling your leaders. You might be fooling your favorite preacher. your favorite evangelist or your favorite televangelist, but you're not fooling Jesus, and you're not fooling yourself. Simple as that. I'm not fooling myself because I know what I'm doing. I know exactly what I'm doing. And I know that if it doesn't come the way God wants it, I don't want to do it. I know that very well. I got a very heavy spirit came on me last night, got me a message, got an email from the Caribbean. I don't have to tell you all everything, but I'm telling you. And I got that email, and that email threw me into spiritual depression. It did. And what are you saying, Apostle? Because your apostles don't go in spiritual depression. That's what you say, right? But Paul was in spiritual depression, too. Go back and read the book of Acts. You'll see. And the people were trying to kill him and everything. He was in spiritual depression. David was in spiritual depression. But it's not something that's going to take me to the hospital or anything like that. It was just something that I had to deal with. You know, sometimes the enemy is so slick that the enemy would bring people back in your life from your past that ought not be in your life. Do you hear what I'm saying? And I haven't talked to this person in, oh my God, so many years. And all of a sudden the person came back and said to me, have you been trying to get in touch with me? I mean, that thing just threw my spirit into a whirlwind. I don't know, y'all don't deal with nothing like that. Throw my spirit into a whirlwind. And I'm saying this because somebody on this line, somebody in the computer line needs to hear this. That's going to hear by blog talk really. Sometimes when the Lord allows some people, some places, and some things to be moved out of your way, you need to let them stay out of your way. Don't do anything to try to bring them back. And even if they try to come back in your way, you got to say, no, I've already been there already. That's not going to happen again. You got to shut that thing down because you'll find yourself into a spiritual whirlwind, into spiritual depression, because this thing that's going to happen once you allow them people, place, or things to get back in, this thing that's going to happen going to take you out of the pathway that God wants to take you. I just wanted to share that because that's what I was dealing with, and I had to reject that spirit last night. I dealt with it and got rid of it. So anyway, the line is open. Thank God for you guys. Come on in. You got plenty of time.
Good morning, Apostle.
Good morning.
Give me 2 seconds and you'll make it better for you.
She never fails to bless me. She sets her time that she's going to leave that office just at the time that she ready to share. She becomes another sister. Glory
sure
to God.
Come on this giving and give my thanks. Because each day is another
Lord.
Day to give thanks. You have to.
Yes,
you know,
Lord.
I have to say thank you very much for that message this morning. Because when I was going to the gym every single day, I used to get up 3 o'clock on the dot. I used to set that time aside. And when I set that time aside, I used to pray first. Then I pulled myself together. And then I went to the gym. And then I came home. And it was a fresh way to start your day.
Mm-hmm.
A fresh way. It felt like nothing could come. It could bother you. It couldn't conquer you. And then you kind of get sidetracked. The kids go to school. Appointments come in the way. Your time management gets all discombobulated. But then you got to get right back on your horse and start all over again. You got to start right back to the drawing board, and you got to start all over again. So, you know, I've been saying to myself time and time again, I got to manage my time better. I have to manage it better because I need to do that one-on-one time with God. So I'm definitely taking this message for me because I know that I have to do a better time management with my Father because he's doing so much for me and he has done so much for me already. So I definitely have to give thanks for all that he is doing and all that he has done for me so far. But, you know, as we sit here and we look, as time is coming closer, I have to ask that we do a special prayer. God knows everything is going on all over the world, but my heart grieves for Jamaica. When I read today is September 26th, on September 24th, to the count that they know of, there was 860 murders in Jamaica to what they know of. Just in the little island of Jamaica, and that's what they know of. And then yesterday, every single year, I don't know what it is, with Homewood Technical High School, and that's the same high school that Zuzu went to. Homewood Technical High School, again, as the kids are traveling to school, the drivers decide that they don't know how to be patient and wait. They decide to overtake a truck, and when they overtook that truck, there was 18 kids in that little van. Four of them died. Five of them died. So again, parents have to go bury their children. They weren't preparing to bury their children, but they have to go and bury their children all over again.
Jesus.
It's a serious reality check. It's a real reality check. If you haven't gotten God into your life, it's to get him in now. If you're not covering your children, you need to cover them now. Because he's out there and he's rampant. He's rampant.
Amen.
Out in there in Clarendon, they're going on the school campuses, and they are just, they're taking the kids at gunpoint and robbing them for their cell phones, their laptops. You're safe nowhere. So what best to have God's covering all over you, and you know, God, you are not safe. You are not safe for a minute. So I am asking, and I'm saying today, as speaking as Stevie said it, you have to get your time together. You have to build that relationship. As I have fallen short, and I admit it, I'm guilty myself. But I am going back. I'm going back day by day, bit by bit. And I'm developing that relationship. And night by night, I pull my husband in one night at a time. We have to go back to the drawing board and get it right with God, because there is too much going on. There is too much going on in this world not for us to see and say, Lord, I give it all to you. I give my heart to you and I give it all to you. There's too much going on right now to cover our children, to cover our family, to cover our loved ones. Lord, even cover our enemies. Even when they have done us wrong, we'll cover them. There's too much going on. We have to ask God to cover us now more than ever, because we never know. Grandma always says, God never tells you when, where, and how you're going to die.
That's right.
He never tells you. But Lord,
I'm asking
when we go, maybe a subtle way. But these ways nowadays, how mankind is being so unpleasing, my God, we have to get it right. We have to get
it right.
So I'm just asking, not even just Jamaica, the nation is crying out, and they're crying out silently. The world needs a covering now more than ever. America is falling slowly. Jamaica's going under. Trinidad and Jamaica's competing for who has the highest murder rate. It needs to stop. It needs to start flowing heavenly waters instead of blood. It needs to stop.
Jesus.
As this all comes to an end, I just ask that we can just continue to keep the world in our prayers. I know we all do, but we need to cry out a special prayer for the world, because it's just heavy. It's heavy all over. As we look on the news and read the newspapers, it's heavy. We need God to just give them just that special touch to make them humble themselves and come back to the potter's wheel to say, Lord, make me over. Make me over. Have your way within me, dear Lord. Make me over. So I just ask that we remember to lift up the world each and every day in a special way. And may we all continue to have a blessed day and rejoicing in the Lord.
Lord, Jesus, you said a lot. Well, let me tell you something. You know, all the stuff that happened in Kenya. I had a message last night from one of my spiritual sons in Kenya, and they were having a service, a prayer service, and he said that there was a man in the service that came forth and said that he was a murderer. He had committed murder, and he wanted to be free. He wanted to receive Jesus. He wants to turn his life over, confess his sins. And I start to tell my son to praise God that in the midst of all the stuff that's going on, there's still people that are seeking God. Why? Because people somewhere praying for that nation. I want somebody to come on in right now and pray for Jamaica. Pray for the islands. Pray for Africa. Somebody come on in and pray. Just forget about your needs for one moment. Rest one moment and begin to lift up these countries, these islands, and pray for the people that lost loved ones. You know, loved ones that's just been taken away from them without a warning. Just pray at this spot. I need somebody to come on and pray right now. Please.
Lord, God, only in precious Father, Lord God. Lord, I lift up Jamaica before you, Lord God. Your country, Lord God. Your land of sunshine, Lord God. But, Lord, the island have been weighed down these perilous times, Lord God, where the sun can't even shine, Heavenly Father. Your people are compressed, Lord God. Lord, their hearts have turned to stone, Lord God. They are falling to the adversary, Heavenly Father. Lord, I ask that you lift the people up, Lord God. Lord, have your warriors arise, Lord God. Put their feet on solid ground, Heavenly Father. That they will pray for one another, that they will be a new talk, that they will spread your love and preach your gospel, Lord God. Lord, heal the hearts of those that are mourning, that have to bury a loved one, Lord God. All over the world, Lord God, in Kenya, Lord God. Oh, Lord, you see the oppression that they are facing, Lord God, from the extremists. Lord God, we know that you are the substance of peace, Lord God. Lord, we know that you can dry every eye, Lord God. We know you are the ultimate comforter, Heavenly Father. So, Lord, I ask that you make a way, Lord God. Take control, Lord God. Send your love, Lord God. Send your peace, Lord God. Lord, put your heavenly blanket over this world, Lord God. Lord, your people will turn from their wicked ways. That they will look to you, Lord God. Lord, the author and finisher of their faith, Lord God. That they will draw their strength from you, Lord God. That they will have love towards their brothers and sisters, Lord God. Lord, let your word spread across the world, over the seas and the lands, Lord God. That the people will say, what must I do to know you? What must
yes.
they do to live a
yes,
life
Lord.
That's to be saved? What must they do to be a kingdom builder, to serve you, Lord God. Lord, we ask that we take control because we know you have the whole world in your hands, Lord God.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, send
you
us
do,
a storm,
Lord.
Lord God. Bring unity amongst the nations, Lord God. That we will lift up our brethren and sisters in Christ, Lord God. That we will look out for one another, Lord God. Lord, that there will no longer be blood shedding on the streets, Lord God. Oh, Lord, that people will have revivals and crusades, Lord God, and people will come in great multitudes and numbers and give their life to you, Lord God. That you will heal the sick, Lord God. Comfort the motherless, the fatherless, the childless, Lord God. Lord, as your people are in despair, Lord God, let them not fall any deeper into darkness, Lord God. For raise them up in your marvelous light, Lord God. Put us back on your potter's world, Lord God, as read it says. Lord, mold us and shape us, Lord God. Let us
yes,
get on our
Lord,
talents,
yes.
Lord God. Let us not forget about others' needs, Lord God. Let us not be selfish and focus on ourselves. Lord God, but cry out to you, Lord God. Intercede
yes,
for
Lord.
All over the world, Lord God. Make us one,
glory,
Lord God.
Glory,
bring
glory,
us all one
glory,
and
glory,
one.
Glory,
as
glory,
your people, Lord God. Use us to evangelize, Lord God. To reach out, Lord God. Lord, to lives to be saved, Lord God. Lord, as people get to a place where they spend all their years running the world roaming, Lord God. And when they're old and on their sick bed and they're popped down, that's when they look to you, Lord God. Lord, but speak to your people's hearts, Lord God, that they will not waste. Right now, this minute, this second, this hour, Lord God.
Yes, Lord.
That their hearts will draw nearer to you, Lord God.
Speak,
Lord
Jesus.
Lord, plant the seed that only you can give, Lord God.
Lord, speak,
flourish
Lord.
And cultivate your people, Lord God. That
yes,
we will
yes,
not be ashamed
yes,
to
yes,
declare
yes.
your works. That
my
we will
Lord
rise
Jesus.
Up, hallelujah, hallelujah, as soldiers in your army.
Yes, Lord.
That we reach out to the sick, the homeless, the hurt, the broken. Oh, Lord, that we will
Jesus.
Put on our full armor and prepare for war because we are warriors in you. Oh, Lord, and we'll be ever so grateful to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Lord, touch every dry land, Lord God. Near and far, Lord God, every heart. Let's have your way, Lord God. Saturate the atmosphere, for the universe belongs to you. You are the creator. You are the great I am. There is none like you. You are mighty and ever powerful. You are sovereign. You are holy. You are perfect. You are beautiful. You are worthy.
Thank you, Jesus.
You are God. Spread your grace and mercy across the lands, Lord God. Touch your people like never before. In
Thank
the
you,
mighty
Lord
name
Jesus.
Of Jesus.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, woman of God. We just bless the Lord. I need somebody to come in and pray against the spirit of witchcraft. I'm just hearing that in my spirit so strong. I need somebody to come in and pray against the spirit of witchcraft. The witchcraft is coming against marriage. It's coming against marriage. There's that single woman out there. There's that one, that man out there that think that he can play with the marriage and that he can destroy marriage because he's allowing the enemy to come and use him to come against marriages. So women are coming against him, trying to break up marriages. They don't care because they're not married and they don't care who marriage they break up. We want to pray against that spirit this morning. I need somebody to come and pray right now. Pray from the depths of your heart because God wants to mend. God wants to restore. God wants to heal. God wants to rejuvenate marriage right now. I feel it in my spirit. But I'm pressing the close, and I need you all, somebody to pray, somebody to work for me right now. Somebody come on in and pray. Begin to pray, 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 pray. Come on and pray, somebody. Pray.
Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, and God, we praise you, oh God. You heard what's going on, oh God, with the spirit of witchcraft around the surrounding areas, Lord God. God, we're interceding, oh God, we bind a witch suffer not to live in the word of God. So, God, we bind it up from the marriage of God in Jesus' name. Marriage is honorable and the bed is undefiled. There's no magic dust, no blue dust, oh God, in the name of Jesus. You sanctify marriages, oh God, in the name of Jesus. You said that every husband have his own wife, and every wife have his own husband. So, God, we're praying for the marriages, oh God. We realize the enemy works in marriages, but we bind up the adversary. Lord, we thank you, Lord, right now. We thank you, oh God, that we can get a prayer through, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, if Jesus don't give you a man, he got you a man. Satan, we bind you. We send you back to the pits of hell where you belong.
You return us to the sender.
Oh, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you, Lord, right now. We bind it up. We bind up the spirit of jealousy. We bind up the spirit of malice. We bind up all those who do what. We know that part of you, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, we're interceding, oh God. We're interceding. You said that you met man for what there was of a man, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Man to find what kind of good thing. So God, we come interceding today, Lord God, in the surrounding areas, oh God, in the name of Jesus. The man is at hurt of his household, oh God. Then he may take government, oh God, and take responsibility. Satan, it ain't gonna work. It ain't gonna work, devil. It ain't gonna work. In the name of Jesus, put love back in the marriages, oh God. We realize there's a high divorcing Christian marriage that shouldn't be so prevalent. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let communication come in the marriages, oh Lord. My God. In the name of Jesus. We're sending a war. We're trying to war cry today. In the name of Jesus. That Satan's a liar. You won't destroy another one in the name of Jesus. Let the husband return back to his wife, oh God, where he belongs, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Loose these marriages, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, oh God.
We come against the spirit of destruction. You will not destroy your marriage today. We come against that spirit in the name of Jesus. We take authority over every marriage right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we release it in the atmosphere. We release the atmosphere, the spirit of God, into the atmosphere right now to destroy the works of the enemy. Father, we declare and decree, God, that every marriage that is going through any type of problem right now, that it will be mended right now. God, we release the waters of heaven, oh God, to wash away the things that are not of God. God, you prepared marriage in the Garden of Eden. You said it's a good thing. Lord, I thank you that even right now we speak against, my God, that defiling spirit. We come against that defiling spirit that wants to defile the covenant of marriage. And Lord, we speak it even right now, God, that we break every chain, my God, that's coming to tap marriage from not working, oh God. We declare right now, but Father God, that every man that's coming against a marriage, he shall be arrested in the spirit. And every woman that's coming against a marriage shall be arrested in the spirit. God, we declare and decree, God, that there shall be not, my God, no undefiled in the bed of marriage. God, we speak it right now. God, arrest the woman right now. Arrest that man, oh God, that is stepping outside of his marriage. Arrest that woman that's stepping outside of her marriage. Let her know that, God, you are, my God, you are the watchman over their marriage, God. Let them know that. God, I declare right now that the blood of Jesus is covering every barrier. My God, every crooked place is being made straight. And every rough place is being plain right now in the name of Jesus. Father, I declare right now, my God, that the enemy is coming like a flood against the marriage. But the foot of the Lord is lifting up a standard for it right now. God, I speak it even right now, God. Lord, that my mouth is made whole right now. Lord, there's no defilement in my marriage. I thank you, Lord, God. The blood of Jesus is coming. In my marriage. My God, the blood of Jesus is coming. Zuzu, and clear. God, the blood of Jesus is coming, being, my God, and keeps you. Lord, the blood of Jesus is coming, my God. Oh, being sent, my God, and sweet. The Lord, I declare it right now. I declare that this king coming, oh God, to our evangelist camp. There's a king coming, oh God, to evangelist box. The Lord God, they will not be. They will not live a fornicated life, God, but they will live a life that is true and holy for you, God. God, their husband will find them. They will not look for their husband, but their husband will find them. God, because they're hearing you, the past is the past, oh God. They will not let anybody tell them about their past, because you have placed their past in the past. You throw it in the sea of forgetfulness. And Lord, I thank you right now. Lord, I thank you right now because you are doing miracles. You are doing miracles in their life right now. Glory to God, you're opening the door to have that man talk and open. But God, oh God, you're closing the door. The Lord, man said nobody could close it, but God, you are closing it. God, you're closing that. You're closing that door to defilement, oh God, that they will not defile the temple of God. I thank you, Lord God, that you're opening the door so that the man of God can come in and find them. Lord, I thank you right now because they're hidden in you. And God, I bless your name. I bless your name. I bless your name. God, touch Sister Christina. Touch her, oh God, from the crown of her head to the sole of her feet, God. Begin to do a new thing in her life, God. God, she's been waiting on you for a long time. Lord, it seems like all hell is coming up against her. But God, I thank you that heaven is open to her. Lord, I thank you right now. Lord, I thank you right now that you are doing miracles. You are a miracle-working God. And God, because because you're a miracle working God, your children can come to you and receive from you. God, we're not coming in by our own. We're not coming in on our own merit, but we're coming in, oh God, by the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. He did it for us, Lord God. He made provision that we could come to you. So, God, we are coming in this morning boldly. We ask you to touch our marriages, oh God. Touch the church, oh God. Lord, you are married to the church. Lord, touch the church, oh God. Touch your bride, oh God. Touch your bride, that your bride will be the bride. Lord, they're not just praying to pray the bride, but they'll be the bride. Lord, I pray today that you will touch our bishop. Touch anybody that is connected to the house of Lord. Touch them today, God. Touch them today, Lord God. Let them hear, oh God. Let them hear from heaven, oh God. Lord, we bless you. 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 Oh, Lord, we bless you. Lord, we bless you. Lord, we bless you. Lord, we bless you. Lord, I bless you, Lord. Lord, I bless you. I bless you. I bless you. I bless you, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, take me. Use me the way you want to use me, Lord. Lord, I surrender everything to you, Jesus. I'm not holding back anything, Lord Jesus. Take me where you want me to go, Lord. Lord, I'll go wherever your Father will lead me, oh God. I'll follow wherever you lead, God. God, take me and use me, Lord Jesus. Break me down, Lord God, and get me back together, Lord Jesus. Ah, Lord God, I don't want to do things my way. I want to do them your way, Lord Jesus. My God, take away what you think I don't need, what you know I don't need, oh God. And only have me to have what you have me to need, have, oh God. I pray today, Lord God. I pray for sanctification over this line, God. Lord, sanctify this line, oh God. Lord, it doesn't matter who have to go, let them go. But let them that come be sanctified in the Spirit, oh God. Lord, let them draw closer to you, not closer to the apostles, not closer to the evangelists, not closer to the deacons or the trustees, but let them draw closer to you, God. I pray, oh God, that your Spirit would move on this line all over the world. As people listen, oh God, that they will be drawn to you, Jesus. Lord, we are almost at 95,500. But God, I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are doing a mighty work. God, you're reaching souls all over the world. And God, what a glorious thing to see people getting saved on an electronic church line. God, we thank you, oh God. We thank you, oh God. We thank you, oh God. God, we thank you. We thank you, Lord. It's not about money, but it's about finances. It's about souls, oh God. It's not even about the finances, God. It's about your souls, oh God. Yes, Lord, we know that you are blessing us to reach the kingdom, reach this earth for the heavenly kingdom. Lord, we thank you, oh God. We thank you, God. Lord, we thank you now. We thank you, Lord, that you're ordering our footsteps, oh God. Lord, we thank you. Somebody has got a word they want to share. I just had to get the 2 cents, them 2 pennies in.
God bless you, Apostle. I thank the Lord for everything on his line. I feel the power of God down on the inside. I thank you, woman of God, for that word, time management. It's time to get busy. It's time to know what God is saying. In spite of what we got to go through, we got to forget about ourselves and help somebody else. I thank God that the marriages are being healed. Ah, my God, I thank you, Jesus. I think marriage is such a sacred thing. Just like you said, a man is finding wife, he's finding a good thing. So he either is going to find us, Daniel Campbell. We ain't got to settle for less than God got the best. Listen, we're not too old to have a mate. Come on here. We're not too old. So we're going to wait on God because we're God's chosen vessels. And Apostle stirred me up with that prayer. You know, sometimes you just think you're happy. You think you're so happy. I guess that's why he says the fireball. He always let the fire stay low, then he rises it up. God bless you, Pastor Gallagher.
Thank you so much, woman of God.
I mean, business for Jesus. We all got to go through this way, like Sister Sherita said. Time management. We got to get busy. There's too much stuff going on. We got to be on our post. We got to be on our
post. Hold right there. Don't say that. Just hold right there. Sherita's still on the line? Let me see. Yes, you said it. The Lord just told me to tell you, Sherita. I got to tell you right this. Listen to me. The Lord just told me to tell you. He said that. You have come a long way. You still got a long way to go. And the Lord said to tell you that don't allow anybody, I don't care who they are, to bring your past in your face. He said, get to a place where you start to shut them out when they remember who you were. Yes, Lord says, I know who you were, but I also see who you are right now. The Lord said to tell you, Lord said to tell you, daughter, he said, tell you that he said that everything that you have done, he has already seen it. He said he had it written down. And when you come to know him as Savior, he rubbed it out. He erased it. The Lord said he erased it and he threw it in the sea of forgetfulness. So whoever wants to go back in your past and bring your past before them, shut them out. Because you no longer live in there. The Lord said to tell you, you no longer live in there. Do you hear what I'm saying? Because I said to my spirit, the Lord just said to tell you that a lot of times you allow people, even family members, to bring your past up before you. He said, shut them out. Shut them out. He said, shut them out. Because the Lord said, I got a plan for your life. And said, I'm going to use everything you've been through to bring other people out, other women out. It's going to be a testimony to bring them out. So the Lord said to tell you that. Just shut them out, okay? Go on, Evangelist Campbell. Baxter.
That was back.
Go on.
That's right. Stay on the post. That's right. Sharita, women's ministry. That's what I heard when Pastor was prophesying in the women's ministry. We need to help. We need to help those that are less fortunate, those that don't believe that they don't mount to nothing. Because, listen, God says every soul counts. Because people are always good to remind you of your past later for them. Look at the future. The future looks better. I'm excited. Even though I had to go through a lot of apostles, like Apostle said, he can save him and deliver him. He can save anybody. We just got to go through. And every time I think about what God's done, I get happy.
You just took me back there. My God, you just took me into a place.
Go ahead.
That's
why
I know preachers tell me, Pastor, why you always talk about you used to use drugs? Because look, let me tell you something. I can talk about it because I'm overcome with the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. Drugs no longer have control over my life. Women no longer have control of my life. And they're coming left and right. They're coming left and right, but I'm shutting them out every time because I know how to shut them out. I shut them out. Because why? I'm destined for what God's taking, where God's taking me. My destiny is not here. My destiny is with Him. He's drawing me to Him. He's drawing you to Him. Don't you feel He's drawing you to Him? You think that He wants you to stay here? No, this is not your home. He's drawing you to be with Him. But you should.
That's right.
So many of us trying to get tied into this stuff that's on this earth. This earth is not your home. This stuff that
you're using
is just a loan. It's just a loan while you're here. Don't get yourself all engulfed in your house, in your car, your job. Don't get yourself all engulfed in yourself because that's your pastor to too.
That's right.
You better get yourself tied into Jesus.
Tied into Jesus.
Get yourself tied into him because you don't know when he's going to call you. He calls you a member.
That's right. Anytime.
If you don't me, just go and Google. Just go Google how many young men and women. Just you doubt me? Just Google on your computer because some of you all have more with your computer with. I'm not a computer with. I can do a little bit. But go Google how many men, young men and young women died on today. Just Google it.
Yes.
It'll bless you. Just Google it. How many young men and young women died on today?
Died on today. My God.
It will bless you.
Hey,
it will just let you know that you got something to rejoice about.
Stop complaining, stop criticizing,
and stop condemning. You got something to praise about. You're spending, my God. You're spending too much time condemning other people and judging other people. My God, you're not even living the life that God calls you to live.
That's right.
Too much time in the condemning mood.
Thank you.
Judging and all that stuff. Man, just try to live God the life God calls you to live. Show somebody to get saved. You know, God called each and every one of us that know Him as a conduit. In other words, we are the electrical cord that connected to Him,
that comes
from Him to go to somebody else. God, that's who He is.
That's right.
A conduit just means to connect to something that carries something. That's what a conduit is. It's connected to something to carry something. So God wants us to stay connected to Him and carry something. But what happened is we want to look like we're connected to Him when we're in the presence of the apostle, the bishop, the archbishop, the whoever that is in leadership. We want to look like we're connected when we're in front of a leadership. But as soon as we get from in front of a leadership, we act like a fool.
You better say that. That's right. And another thing, apostle, we look for a reward, too. We look for a reward. We do look for a reward from these jobs we go on every day. Thank God. Oh, hallelujah. but we forget the reward that comes from God. I thank God for that word this morning.
Reward. My God.
You know, we look for rewards on these jobs. Evangelist Baxter, we stay there 10 years, 20 years. We want to recompense something. We want to be rewarded for being there those years. But we're not worrying about the reward of eternal life. We don't care how we do God's time.
It's
but
Lord.
We worry about
right.
the time of man, but not the time of God. No, but I
shall. Yes, sir. Power. It belongs to him. My God, I feel the power of the Holy Ghost on this line, Evangelist.
It's good.
We want the gold watches. At 25 years, we want the gold watch. We want the silver Rolex. We want all of that. But we forget about the reward.
Silver Rolex. My. Silver Rolex, huh? I'm wearing Walmart watches. Silver.
we were in a ministry, one of our ministries back in Washington, and our bishop is connected to somebody in Washington, our bishop over there. And the collection that he connected to, if you do right, then live, and they call the man Father. A lot of you all going to know this man. When I mention this man, they call him Father Moon. You all probably
Father
heard
Moon.
About him. They call him Father Moon. And if you do what you're supposed to do, because he said that he is the Son of God. Okay? And I got anything make me almost sure. But all these preachers would connect to him called what he would do. And I saw it happen. This is nobody told me. I was in Las Vegas for them for a convocation. I had thousands of pastors. I mean, they had, man, I can't tell you, 3,000, 4,000. Maybe more. And look. These preachers, when they're done, he give them a gold Rolex, $15,000 Rolex.
Nah.
And what they were doing, they were selling out Jesus.
Wow.
You hear me? They were selling out Jesus. When you say sell out Jesus, this is not for sale. What they were doing, they were compromising the gospel. But
that's
you know
right.
when you compromise the gospel, you're selling out Jesus.
That's right.
They compromise the gospel. But if you don't compromise the gospel, you don't get a Rolex.
Yeah.
Well, that preacher told me, he says, man, you too forthright. I said, well, no, that's the only right I got is forthright. I don't got no other right. I got to tell the truth. If you kick me out of the church, that's so be it. I got a church that's bigger than the church that I'm going to.
That's right.
If they kick you out of the church, don't be worried. Folk going to kick you out of the church because you preach the truth. Don't be worried because you got a big, your mind got to be set on the church in heaven. If your mind is set on the church here on earth, guess what happens? You're going to be just like all the other preachers. All the other preachers. Or they just trying to preach. The church had to preach you happy, compromising the word of God.
Preach
you know, I thank God for my bishop. My bishop, he don't compromise. He don't compromise the word. And I'll tell you something, that if he was compromising, I would already be gone already. Because I ain't signed no contract. If he was a compromising bishop, I'd be gone already. I don't play with the word of God. I know how to live in the world. I don't need nobody to show me how to live in the world. I know how to live in the world. So I like when the preacher preaching the truth, that's all I need. Preach the
truth.
Right. Don't compromise the word of God. Because somebody going to give you $1,000 or $500 a sword to come and preach for them, don't you compromise the word. Don't compromise the word because I'm preaching for heaven. That's what I'm preaching for. I'm teaching for heaven. I'm teaching that when I get there, he's going to say, well done, that good and faithful servant. He's not going to say, just talk to me and I didn't know you. He's not going to say that. Because I'm preaching the truth. And God says, if you say the truth, he says, I'll back it. Because what? The truth belongs to me. He said, I'll back the truth. if you preach the truth, man will come against you, but God will. Listen to me. Somebody pulling, making a noise. You know, if you preach the truth, man will come against you, but God will stand with you. Do you know that? If you preach the truth, men and women will come against you, but God will stand with you. Do you know that?
That's right.
Okay, well, if you don't know that, go back and check the Bible. Pontius Pilate asked Jesus what is truth. He said, the word. You can't do nothing to the word. You can't do nothing to the truth of God. Preach the truth. Your sister, your brother, your aunt, your uncle, everybody going to come against you. Your family preacher going to come against you if you preach the truth.
That's right.
But don't preach the truth that you want to kill people. Preach the truth in love. That's what Jesus said. He said, teach it in love. Preach it in love. We don't preach it with a judgmental spirit because you wouldn't win no souls. Do you hear what I'm saying? Preach it with love. Preach it with love.
Amen.
I'm just telling you the truth. Don't teach it with a judgmental spirit that you're better than somebody. I ain't better than nobody. I'm still learning. God's still doing stuff in me. He's still trying to get me straight. He said, you got some crooked places in your life that need to be straight. I'm still working on them, son. When I get them straight, I'll call you home. He said, I'll call you home when I get them straight. And I thank God that he's so faithful that he don't ever give up on me. You know, he works with you. Just honor each other. Just help each other. That's what we're here. Let me see who's on the line here now quick. I'll hear somebody pray quick. I'm about to pray. Yes, ma'am.
I have a prayer request.
Okay.
My friend Anja, the one that we prayed for on Saturday, they're gonna give her surgery tomorrow on her heart. They're gonna install the defibrillator. So she called me while we were on the line for prayer. Tomorrow morning they're gonna do the surgery.
Okay. All right. Evangelist Campbell, go ahead and pray for her right now.
Our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we come before your presence once more and again, God, lifting up our sister before you, before the throne of grace. The surgery that she's going to have on tomorrow, Father, as they do the defibrillator, God, we ask right now, God, in the name of Jesus, that you will make every adjustment that need to be made, God, with her heart and her valves, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask that you touch the hearts and the minds of the surgeons, every physician that's in the room, God, every anesthesiologist, oh God, every nurse, Father, in the name of Jesus. We ask you, God, to cover them, oh God, before
yes,
they
Lord.
Even enter in the room, God. Touch their hands, God, in the name of Jesus. Stabilize their hands, God, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we ask you to touch her from the mold of her head to the sole of her feet, through every bone and joint in her body, God, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we just thank you for healing and deliverance right now, God.
Thank you, Lord.
That is just
healing.
A temporary thing, God, in the mighty
yes,
name
Lord.
Of Jesus. Lord, we say thank you right now, oh God, that her heart, God, in the name of Jesus, will beat. It would take a rhythm, God, in the name of Jesus, that you have given it, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for the rhythm of our heart, Lord, that it will
yes,
be
Lord.
To the sound of the name of Jesus. Lord, we just want to say thank you right now, God.
Thank
in
you,
the
Lord.
Mighty
thank
name
you, Lord.
Of Lord, we say thank you. We speak peace
thank
right
you,
now,
Lord.
God. We speak peace over her life, God. We
it's
speak
right
deliverance
now,
and healing, God. We say thank you, Lord. For your mighty acts
thank
of work,
you,
oh God.
You,
in the
thank
name
you,
of Jesus, Lord, you said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify
mm-hmm.
your Father forever. And Father, we say thank you right now, God, that you get the glory of her life, oh God. And when she comes out
you,
of that
Lord.
Surgery, God, that there will be no side effects, oh God. No side effects, God. We just pray, God, that all those side effects, God, be away, done away with, down to a minimal, God. No side effects, God. In the name of Jesus, none of that throwing up, oh God. None of that heartaches and pain, God. But Lord, we say thank you right now, God. In the name of Jesus. That she
thank
come out
Lord.
Of surgery,
thank
God. That she would just come out lifting up her hands to you, just
thank
telling
the
you,
Lord.
Thank you,
the
and
Lord.
Everything is all right. Now we say
thank
you
Lord.
Right now, God. Lord, we just say thank
yes,
you. We
Lord.
Worship you, God. You say
thank
that a worship of worship in spirit and in truth. And
thank
Lord, I want to tell you, thank you this morning, Jesus. Thank you for the healing, God. Thank you for
thank
the
you,
healing,
Lord.
God. For you are Jehovah Jireh. Lord, your love, oh God. The love of Jesus Christ. We know, God, we know that you said that you will be clean, oh God. And you said, God, you will raise up men in the last days. And Jesus, you said if you be lifted up,
Thank
you,
Lord,
will draw all
yes,
people
yes, yes, yes,
unto
yes.
you.
Amen.
And we give you up, Jesus, for life right now, God.
Yes.
You're raised up, oh God, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for the joy. We
thank
you for love and peace. We thank you for the kindness, God.
Lord,
we thank you for the concern and the compassion that our brothers and sisters have for one another. And, oh, God, in the name of Jesus, we ask right now, God, that you will allow us, God, each and every one of us, to offer up a fast for her, oh, God, in the name to give up something, oh, God, in the name of
Jesus.
And we say thank you right now in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. That we all shall
thank
give us
Lord,
something,
Jesus.
Oh God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank the Lord, Jesus. Thank the Lord. Amen. Deaconess Keisha, I need you when you get to talk to her, if you can text her a message that says the Lord tell her not to fear. Be at peace. The Lord tell her not to fear, be at peace. Because the surgeons are going to a very difficult place. They're dealing with a very difficult artery, and people get scared when they hear heart surgery. But the Lord says, don't tell her not to fear, not to be afraid, to be at peace, because he's going to be in the room. I hear that in my spirit. He's going to be in the room. All will be well. As a matter of fact, all is well, 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 all is well. I always hear that in my spirit. All is well.
Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, come
yes.
on in the room. Thank
yes.
you, Jesus. Come on.
Come on in the room, Jesus.
Oh, Lord, come on in the room. Oh, Lord, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, come on in the room. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Come on in the room. He is already in the room. Don't forget
already
to lift up Sister Shante. Don't forget to lift up Sister Shante and Deacon Bishop Wright Brothers in the hospital. And for those that is in this local area, remember that Bishop is requiring everybody to show up at the church tomorrow by 7:30, the latest. Everybody, we're going to have an awesome service tomorrow night and Saturday night and Sunday morning, Sunday evening. We're going to have a whole weekend of service. So we need everybody to show up and receive from the Lord. Come expecting to receive from the Lord. Okay, we have an apostle from out of town who's coming in, the apostle over the church. He is coming in and bring us some word. So everybody need to get there. Make a sacrifice to come into the presence of the Lord and hear from the Lord. Okay? God is waiting. He is already there. We're expecting a great report this year, Shante in my spirit. Keisha, why don't you come on in and pray for Shante? Pray for Carmen too. Carmen is dealing with some spiritual enemies, and you need to pray for her so that she can be released. You know, sometimes you have to stand the gap for people who can't stand the gap for themselves. And I already pray for Christina. We know that she's all right. We know that God got her. You know, there's no two ways about it. We know God got her. And I just begin to see for that. I need somebody to pray for Sister Kiet. I need somebody to pray for the mothers. Kiet, Mom, pray for Sharita, Mom. My mom is going home to be with the Lord, but pray for the mothers of anybody that you know their name. Just lift them up. Somebody has to come and pray after Keisha. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead, Keisha.
Most heavenly and precious Father, Lord God, we lift up Sister Shante before you, Lord God. Your daughter, Lord God, your child, Lord God. You as her creator, Lord God. Lord, we ask that you continue to heal her, Lord God. Continue to strengthen her, Lord God. Continue to renew her mind, Lord God. Continue to regenerate her spirit, Lord God. Continue to touch her like before, Lord God. Lord, we are believing that you are going to do something radical and mighty in her life, Lord God. That she shall live and not die, that she will declare your work. That she will be a living testimony for your honor and your glory. That she will draw to you, Lord God, that her strength only comes to you, Lord God. Lord, we know that we have to have patience, Lord God, And I say that we stand in the gap believing, Lord God, that you are completing your healing process in her, Lord God. That you are rejuvenating her, that you are remolding her, reshaping her, Lord God. Lord, that you are touching every fiber of her being, Lord God, from the crown of her head to the sole of her feet, Lord God, that she will not be dependent on life apparatuses, Lord God, but she will breathe clearly from her lungs, Lord God. She will speak clearly, Lord God. The things that they think that she forgot how to do when she wakes up, she would do them more stronger than she's done before. That she would have a swift and mighty recovery. Oh, Lord God, we know you are able, Lord God. We know you are a healer, Lord God. We know you are a deliverer, Lord God. You are Jehovah Rapha, Lord God. Nothing is too great or too small, Lord God. So, Heavenly Father, we ask that you continue to saturate her atmosphere, Lord God.
Yes,
that
Lord, yes.
The doctor, every phlebotomist, every physician, Lord God. Everyone
yes.
who enters into her room, Lord God.
Lord God.
That there will be mindful of the words that were expressed in our environment. Lord God, for you said that you would give life and give it more abundantly, Lord God.
Yes,
and we
Jesus.
Know that soon and very soon, Lord God, she will be waking up.
Yes,
she
Lord,
will be smiling,
yes, Lord
God.
Yes, Lord, yes,
she will be filled
Lord.
With the joy, Lord God.
Yes, Lord, we
she
block
will be
the spirit of death right
that
now, Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Release
Lord God,
the spirit of life.
Peace that
only
you
can give. Yes.
Lord God, the strength that only you can give, Lord God.
Yes, Lord,
the perseverance that only you can give, Lord God. The life that only you can give, Lord God. She
Jesus.
Will come out of darkness and see a marvelous light, Lord God.
Thank
God
is
having has no control over her. He cannot hold
Thank
her down,
Lord.
For she is more than a conqueror through you, Lord God. She is mighty in you, Lord God. And you will do it, Lord God, because we know
Thank
that you
Lord,
are
Jesus.
Able. You are able. You are mighty. You are powerful. You are Alpha
Thank
and Omega.
Yes.
Lord, trample the enemy in her life, Lord God. Lord, strengthen her when she is weak, Lord God. Draw her to your wall, Lord God, your living wall, son, Lord God. Your heavenly Lord, Lord God, we fill it, Lord God. We put it down, Lord God. Take control, Heavenly Father. Saturate our atmosphere, Lord God, even right down
Thank
in the workplace.
Lord Jesus.
And her home and her vehicle, Lord God.
Thank
Give
you,
her
Lord
a new mindset, Lord God. New determination, Lord God. Lord, do things that only you can do, Lord God.
My Lord.
Lord, draw your arms around her, Lord God. And send your angels, Lord God, to cover her heart, Lord God.
Do it, Lord.
Even in her sleep, Lord God, feed into her spirit. Lord, encourage her, Lord God, increase her strength, that she can do it in you, that through you, can all things are possible. Oh, Lord God,
yes, Lord.
That we are warriors for you, Lord God. The center of water, Lord God. Heal our wounds, Lord God. Lord, forgive all their transgressions, Heavenly Father.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord,
Thank
take
you, Lord.
Out of the miry clay, Lord God, and plant her on the solid rock, Lord God. Rescue her, save her, Lord God. Deliver her, Lord God, from the attacks and the plans of the enemy. Lord God, that she will not succumb to her environment, but she will be victorious in you. Lord God, you are mighty, you are powerful, you are ever faithful, Lord God, and your word will not return unto your voice. Heavenly Father, I ask that you bless her and keep her, Lord God. Comfort her, Lord God. Continue to shine your grace and mercy on her, Lord and Father, in the mighty name of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Somebody go on and pray for the mothers. Pray for the mothers of your brothers and sisters. Just begin to pray. Whatever the Lord lay on your heart, just pray. We just got about 15 more minutes, if that much, 14 more minutes. Just pray. and pray for Kiet. Pray for Kiet, Samuel's first. Pray for Kiet first, and then pray for the mother. Somebody go ahead and pray right now.
Thank you. Oh God, we realize, oh God, that she has a work to do for you, Lord, and we thank you for her, God, in Jesus' name. Oh God, we ask you to lift up every mother on this universe, oh God. My God, that you may touch her with especially a special touch today, Lord God. Only you can touch in Jesus' name. So God, we're calling on you today for miracles, signs, and wonders only you can perform, oh God. Ah, my God, we just love you and we praise you, oh God, because you're a prayer answering God. There's nothing that you can't fix. There's nothing that you can't do. So, God, we just ask you, oh God, just to have your way in the land, oh God, in the name of Jesus. The mothers of Zion that still left, oh God, touch them right now in Jesus' name. Ah, that you may give them an extra word, oh God, an extra dose of the Holy Ghost. The older mothers, the seasoned mothers, oh God, the mothers that are 95, the mothers that are 100, that are still walking the walk and talking the talk, oh God, and still going to church, knowing that you brought them a mighty long ways, oh God. We just thank you, oh God, for the mothers, oh God, in Jesus' name. We ask you, oh God, that you may have your way in their lives, oh God, and bless us, oh God, as even the young mothers are up today, God. Give them an unction that they know that they need Jesus, oh God, to raise their children, oh God, in the name of Jesus. We're living in Pierce's time, oh God. They can't raise a child without Jesus, oh God. We ask you to touch them, oh God, in Jesus' name. Oh God, that they may dress appropriate and act appropriate in front of their children, oh God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, God, for Apostle's granddaughter, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Keep her covered. Bless Sister Calendar, God. Bless that home. Bless Sister Amy, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Bless us one by one, name by name, oh God, that we may know all our help, all our strength comes from you today, Lord God. We just thank you, oh God, for this word. We thank you for the word today. We thank you, oh God, for all of us that can get a word from one another, oh God, that we may encourage one another in this last and evil day, oh God, that you have the last saying. You're a God of the universe. You sit high and you look low. So, God, we just love you. We praise you. We thank you, Lord. Respecting great things, great things, great things, God. Respecting great things,
yes,
from you,
Lord,
in,
yes,
this time,
yes,
in this hour.
Yes,
great,
yes,
things, great, great, great things.
Great things,
mighty
great
things, oh God.
Things.
Great things. You're a great God. You're a mighty God. You're everlasting God. You're everything to,
yes,
us, oh
Lord,
God,
yes,
in
Lord,
the name,
Jesus,
of Jesus. It's because you're here, because you sent your son. We're here, God. We thank you, oh God. We thank you for keeping our mind on you today, Lord Jesus. Ah, my God, we love you. We praise you, God. Keep us being obedient to you. Keep us lifting you up. Keep loving on people, God. Loving on ourselves. Just tell ourselves,
yes,
we're going
to
make it. Just tell ourselves we're going to make it. Tell ourselves it's going to be all right, because Jesus already made it all right for us. And wherever we got to go through, God, just give us the strength to endure, to go through, to go through, to go through, to get a blessing on the,
yes,
other side,
yes,
of the truth.
Yes, 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 yes,
so we,
yes,
thank,
yes,
you.
Lord.
Oh, my God,
thank
my God,
Lord,
my
Jesus.
God. Ah, what an awesome God. What a great God he is.
Yes,
I,
Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
God.
Thank you, Lord. Jesus.
When we think that we have, we're overwhelmed, he gives us some more joy. He gives us some more peace.
Thank
he
you,
says,
Lord,
peace be still, oh God. Ah, my God, we stand in for righteousness, oh God. Thank you for
thank
the man
Lord,
of God,
Jesus,
on this line, the facilitator, Apostle David Calendar, God. Thank you, oh
thank
God,
you,
behind
Lord,
you fill his pocket. It may not be a million as yet, but it's on his way. He's
thank
doing
you,
your
Lord,
work, oh God.
Jesus.
This is your vessel. Strengthen him, oh God,
thank you, Lord,
as he strengthens,
yes,
your people,
yes,
oh God,
yes,
in Jesus' name. From the top of his head to the soles of his feet, oh God. As he makes a great sacrifice,
thank
even his
Lord,
wife,
Jesus,
saying in the radio, a great sacrifice,
thank
oh God.
Lord,
it's not going under, it's going over. Souls are being touched right now in Jesus'
thank
name.
The Lord, Jesus.
Bodies are being healed, across the airways, my God. People are getting
thank
miracles,
Lord,
oh God, in Jesus' name, right through Resurrection Church of God. Lord, we
thank
you for him,
Lord,
for being,
Jesus,
faithful each and every morning. Sometimes it's 6 days in the morning. It doesn't matter. He's faithful to you, Lord, and you're going to reward him.
Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' name. Oh, God. Thank you for keeping him humble, God. Thank you, oh, God. Thank you, oh, God,
thank
in
you,
Jesus'
Lord,
name.
Jesus.
We bind up those lust spirits that are trying to come after him today, God, in Jesus'
thank
name.
Thank you, Lord.
Satan, this is God's
Lord,
man.
Thank
he
you,
has
Lord,
a wife.
Thank
we
Lord,
bind up the lust
thank
spirit.
You,
we
Lord,
bind up the little comments on Facebook. He deletes them. God, we thank you.
Thank you,
Lord. My God.
Thank you, Lord.
We know the devil of fire today. We ask you to keep us all in the right and straight narrow path, oh God, that we may see your trap and we may dismiss it. Emobabosha. We don't have to compromise with the world. We belong to God. Emobabosha. Babasi. Whoa, God. If Jesus don't do it, it won't be done. We trust in you, Lord. And we love you today.
Thank
we
you,
magnify
Lord.
Your
thank
holy
Lord,
name.
Jesus.
Holiness without no man or boy shall see the Lord. Time management.
Thank
you
Lord.
For that word of God. We have to redeem the time. Time belongs to God. We don't
yes,
know what's
yes,
going to
yes,
happen.
Yes, yes.
But we know we better stay focused on him. Him that brought us and him that kept us and him who never leave us. Lord, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. God, thank you for your word. We love you and we praise you today. In Jesus' name, keep us in the hollow of your hand. Keep our mind, oh God, on you and you alone in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for another day's journey.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
For getting those things behind, but we're pressing for a blessing. This redeem the time today, the day that we have. We can't worry about tomorrow. We can't worry about Saturday. We just need to bless you right here this day that you've given us. In Jesus'
thank
name.
Thank you, Lord
pray.
Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Yes,
thank you so much. I just got a word. Excuse me. I just got a word in my spirit, and I wanted to do this for quite some time, almost 3 years now. And I just got it in my spirit. The Lord just told me just now, I'm supposed to go to Mississippi after I come back from South Carolina. I don't know how he's going to work it out, but God knows how. I just heard it in my spirit, and I heard it 3 times. You need to go to Mississippi. And I'm going to get all the information I need, a hotel or whatever it is that I have to stay, because I'm supposed to release a word from the Lord, and I just heard it in my spirit. It's not going to be a teach word. It's going to be a preach word and a teach word. Now, I heard the Lord say that just now. The Lord says it's going to be a teach word and a preach word. And I just heard it. And I would start, you know, sometimes when you hear words, it don't hurt to ask the Lord. But in my spirit, I was asking the Lord how it's going to work out. And the Lord just shut me up. He said, don't worry about it. I'll work it out. You see, you let me worry about that. And it will happen too. Because I think that this is the time that the Lord wants me to really move. And I'm really require people to really help me. If you believe in what the Lord is doing here, just help us. You know, October the 16th is going to be my birthday. I need you all to help us. We're going to be leaving here on the 21st. And coming back, I guess, leaving the 26th to get back here from South Carolina. I need you all to help us. But I really want to go to Mississippi and teach and preach a word, the kingdom of heaven. God is girded us up with strength to release in the body of Christ. Everybody's not going to receive it. But those that want it, go and get it. You know, when Jesus was in the earth realm and he spoke, everybody didn't receive the word from him. If you doubt me, go back and read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you'll see that everybody did receive him. Even some priests, some so-called men of God didn't receive the Savior. They didn't receive the word. They're not going to receive you. Everybody ain't going to receive you either.
That's right.
That don't mean that your word is not powerful. That don't mean that your word is not rich, but everybody ain't going to receive you because they did the same thing. Jesus said that they hate him, they will hate you also. Understand this. But that don't stop you from preaching or teaching the words. Keep teaching and preaching the word. Keep teaching and preaching the word. God gonna work this thing out for me. I need a deaconess, come on in and close, pray and close the line. If every all hearts are met, all needs are met and all hearts are settled, we're gonna have the deaconess to come and pray and close us out, and then I'll follow her up. And we'll be back here tomorrow morning. Come on and help us support the evangelist Campbell. She'll be bringing the word on tomorrow. And you need to come because we always get a good word from the Lord, from everybody that bring the word. You know, and it's just proven. I was just talking to my Savior last night. So you know that Keisha is growing, and I'm just so delighted to see how she's growing. She's allowing the Lord to touch her, even though all kind of stuff and people and places are coming against her.
physical and spiritual, she's still standing in the presence of the Lord. And that's what make all the difference in your life. When the storms are raging, Jesus is still Jesus. The storms does not change who he is. He is still Jesus. You know, if you got a lot of money, you're super rich, it still don't change who he is. If you're poor, it doesn't change him. He's still Jesus. You know that? He's still Jesus. It doesn't matter what's going on in your life. He's still Jesus. You got to understand that. He's still Jesus. He's still Savior. He's still the anointed one. Don't let stuff that happened in your life make you think that Jesus turned back. He ain't turning back. He's still there. He's covering us. He's watching us. You just stay for him and let him use you. Come on and pray and close us down. And we'll be back here tomorrow morning serving the Lord.
Most precious Heavenly Father, Abba Father, Lord God, Lord, we worship you, we honor you, we magnify your name. Lord God, we give you glory. Lord God, we thank you for the word this morning on time management, Lord, that will shift our minds, Lord God, that will get us thinking, Lord God, doing self-examination, Lord God, that we need to draw closer to you, for the time is near. Heavenly Father,
yes,
we bless you, everyone on the line. Heavenly Father, we ask that you touch each and every individual, each body, Lord God, each person listening over the airways. Lord, those that are yet to listen, Lord God, touch them, Lord God, that they will feel compelled to give you their time, Lord God, to manage their time wisely, Lord God, a gift that only you can give, time, Heavenly Father. Oh, Lord, we ask that you bless the Apostle Lady Nancy, Lord God, the evangelist, Lord God, the deacons, the ministers, Lord God. Keep them, Lord God. Let your word follow them, Lord. Strengthen them, encourage them, mold them, and shape them, Lord God. Let us not leave the line the same way we came and we started this morning. But, Lord God, we ask that the word will go with us, Lord, will keep us. Oh, God, will comfort us, Lord God, will deliver us, Lord God, will cause us to continue to walk in our light, Lord God. Oh, Lord, we are ever so careful to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise in no other name but the mighty name of Jesus.
Thank you so much. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide upon us. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Remember to tell somebody today that God loved them, you loved them, and Jesus is the only way. You know, sometimes we find it hard to tell somebody, we love them, because we always look back at the past and we start to bring their past against them because we remember what they've done to us.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.